Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna be doing a show and then something happen, and you know, I'll be running around. But you guys, I am so happy tonight to, you know, to be able to talk to y'all. It is not a show tonight. It's just me giving hot topic discussion. I really don't have no show, okay? So this is gonna be, you know, famous, like one of our normally famous shows off the cuff, okay? All the way off cuff. I'm just going to be picking out stories as we go along. Okay. All right. So, oh, my God, I hope you guys have had a fabulous start to your week. My week so far, so good. It's been pretty good. I got to say happy birthday to my papa, my grandfather. He turned 86 this week. He's 86 years old. Okay. He thinks he's 30, though. 25. I mean, he still moves around really well. He still drives really well. I mean, he drives the people in the neighborhood. You know what? We call him, my neotech calls him the Mr. Uber driver, because he drives all the people in the neighborhood. He goes to the store when it snows. The younger people who can't drive in the neighborhood come over to the house and say, "Is Mr. Lee there? Can Mr. Lee take me to work today?" This is I'm not lying. This is true. At 80-some years old, he still gets out and likes to shovel his own snow. He's a trip. Okay, so yeah, so happy birthday to my papa. I know. I think what keeps him strong is God and my grandmother and her chore list. I always feel sorry for him. I always want to pray for him when I'm at home because my granny's a lot. So I'll be like, oh, Lord, poor man. But, yeah, so, yeah, a happy birthday to him. You know, it's so weird in my life. I have all these doubles. This is true. I have to tell y'all, have I told y'all my double story before? Double story, okay? I am a person that has lots of doubles. I have no clue why. I have so many doubles. I'm not going to even tell all of them, okay? But I will tell some of them. Okay. So, my first love was named Kennard. His name was Robert Kennard, I think. Was that his name? That was his name. That was my first love, okay? And I married a guy named Kennard. This is true. When I was a little girl, I had a best friend, and she's still one of my best friends. Her name was Felicia, and her mother's name was Irma. When I got older, I added another best friend to the group. And you know what her name was? Felicia. And you know what her mom's name, who happened to be my spiritual mom, before her name was Irma, too. No joke. This is
It's true.
Okay. My mom and dad, both. My mom is a Taurus. Happy birthday to my mom. My mommy's birthday is coming up May the 6th. My mommy is a Taurus, and my dad is a Pisces, okay? I was not raised by my parents, okay? I was from the hospital. I was with my granny and my grandparents, okay? My mom was there, but she really wasn't really, you know, she was more like a, so she wasn't involved. My grandparents raised me. So, but my grandparents, my grandmother is a Pisces, and my grandfather is a Taurus. Okay, so it was destined that I was going to be raised by a Pisces and a Taurus. So wait, that's why I be telling y'all that Taurus was, I have so many other doubles. I'm telling y'all, it's crazy. I got a lot of them, okay? I don't know why they happen, okay? One of the best things happened to me. One year, I couldn't believe, and it was a double number. What was it? Oh, my God. It was. Okay, I've had lots of great things happen in 11-11, but that wasn't my best, like, one of my best day things that happened, okay? One of my best things that happened was on 12-12. I had a great thing happen on 12-12. I can't say what year, but it was good. 12-12 works good for me. 11 plus 1 is 12 because on my 12th, I'm 11-1. All right, so 12s, whenever I have 12s around, I'm always like 12. But my favorite number is 8, okay? All right, so yeah, my favorite number is 8. But 12s are really good for me. And 13s tend to be good for me, too. A lot of numbers, sevens, but I have a lot of those double things happen. I don't know why. I have to ask somebody why. I have tons of doubles in my life. They're always doubles. tons of doubles. It's just unbelievable. and there's Pisces all around me, all right? Pisces are the thing, okay? I don't know. All right, so I had to share that with y'all because I was like, you know, thinking about that because my papa's birthday, okay? And even, oh, my God, there's so many doubles. It's crazy, okay? I have so many, even oh, my God. Even I think my husband's parents was the same. Their birth dates are like the weird, like they were Pisces and Tauruses too. I don't know what the deal is with that. But Pisces Taurus tends to be a thing around me, okay? I have no clue. Pisces is, I don't know what the deal is, okay? I don't know. But, yeah, I have a lot of doubles. There's doubles everywhere. So when I see a double, I'm like, oh, yeah, doubles. Doubles are good. Doubles are good. Or triples. Triples are good, too. But I like doubles. Right. All right, you guys, so let's get out of that. Okay, so we got so much to discuss tonight. I'm going to try to get to all the hot topics because, baby, I'm doing this off the top of my head. Now, if you hear me drinking, you hear ice, and you hear that, I do that late at night, okay? So, you know, y'all hear, this is a messy show. It's messy, okay? I be eating, I be doing that kind of stuff. I be talking to you, I be snacking on apples. Orange is grapes. I be doing all kinds. All right, but this, hey, it is what it is, okay? So enjoy the show. It gets messy around here, okay? All right, so let's see. What else isn't it? We're getting, oh, my God, tomorrow's May 1st. It's just not fast. Is it not fast? This is moving so fast, the year. I was like, oh, my God, it's May already. I cannot believe it. We're in the fifth month already. It's like shooting. We're shooting, I don't know, I feel like we're just running real fast this year, okay? May is, what is it, Taurus month, Taurus is, and then we enter into the Gemini season, which should be, you know, I'm always hyper Gemini season. but Taurus season, I tend to be pretty chill, You know, so we're coming up on Taurian season, okay? Which I love Taurus season, okay? And then Gemini season, it's just like, I feel like when Gemini season comes, I'm just like, what? Like, I feel like I'm spinning. Like, all kind of stuff starts happening. And then all of a sudden, I can't wait for Gemini season to just shut down. Because it'd be so much. These Geminis, it be a lot with these Geminis out here. And then we got Cancer. Cancer makes it more emotional. So it's just, oh, God, it's just, you know, it is what it is. But I'm excited because, you know, we get countdown to the summertime. And, child, I'm trying to get ready. I'm going to start back my exercise routine. And then I'm going to start back my strength training in a couple of weeks here. Child, I'm trying to get it back right, okay? I'm trying because I'm trying to be cute for the Cincinnati Fest. I had this outfit. I was like, oh, my God. Because, you know, it's a festival, so I'm trying to think, do I want to be festival? Do I want to be cute? Do I want to be sexy? This, you know, it's going to be hot outside. You know, it's outside. So I'm like, you know, I'm trying to figure, how am I going to do this? What look do I want? And I found this cute little outfit that I think I like. I don't know. It's still fancy, but it's still cute. Still festival-like. I don't know. Then I'm like, what am I going to do with my hair? Am I going to be braids? But the outfit, I feel like it deserves Marilyn Monroe treatment. It does. I feel like it does deserve Marilyn. I was talking to my girlfriend like about this. I said, she, you know, this is, and then for my New Edition night, you know, because there's Maxwell night and then there's New Edition night. So New Edition night, I'm trying to think of something really fun, you know, to have on. And so there's this outfit I have, and it's got all these colors in it. It's so cute, and it's like, you know, it's a skirt and a shirt outfit. I mean, it's like a festival, really a festival outfit. So I'm thinking that's going to be New Edition night, right? Because I see New Edition one night. I can't wait. Then Maxwell's, you know, Friday night, Maxwell, Fantasia, Neo, I forget who else, Lakeside, I don't know, okay, but, so I figure that night, you know, you gotta be kind of sexy, but still, you know, still cool, and then New Edition is just fun night. New Edition is so fun. I can't wait to see New Edition, okay? So, yeah. So, I'm excited for the Cincinnati Fest. I can't wait. I'm excited. I can't wait to go, okay? God bless. Everything worked out and everything. But, yeah, I'm so excited about it, okay? All right. So, what's next? I don't know what else I'm going to do this summer. I don't know. Essence Fest is a no-go, I'm thinking. Why? Because they haven't even announced the – I've talked about this last week. Essence is not even announcing who they have coming. I'm like, what's going on? Like, it's May. Are y'all really going to wait? I mean, you know, Essence Fest, here's something that people got to understand. Essence Fest needs to be planned for, okay? I mean, Essence Fest is expensive. I've been going to Essence Fest since 2000, like back in the day. Okay, on and off. But for years, I went straight for like 15 years, okay? And listen, it's it. I used to plan for that baby like a year. I'm leaving. When I leave, when I get home, I start booking my hotel. Back in the day when Essence used to be like, oh, remember when Essence was fire? Oh, my Lord. Oh, Esther used to be something else, yeah. But now it's not. Oh, my God, it's lost its what it used to have. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's still people, I think a lot of people still go to it out of nostalgia, you know, and the history of the magazine. Oh. I know that the last time I went, I enjoyed myself because it was Janet one night. It was a good year. It was a soca night one night, but they had so many great guests come out that night, and we kind of, you know, it was okay. The music was okay, but you could tell, you know, they tried to introduce Black Americans. I mean, Black Americans know about reggae and stuff like that, because, you know, but the soca is just a little different. So a lot of Black people just sit down like, okay. because, you know, we the majority, Black Americans, right? So, you know, in essence, so it's like, you know, you see a few people sprinkle here and there. But, yeah, it was still a good show. It was fun, okay? Yeah, I don't know, okay? Yeah, I'm not thinking. Unless it's a last-minute thing, God, I'm not planning on going. All right, and plus you can watch, now usually they have it on Hulu. So, yeah, so I don't know. Okay, so, and then what else? So, yeah, that's the big festival coming up. What else is another festival? Do they have any more festivals? I know there's probably other ones, but, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I can't think of any right off the top of my head, but, yeah. What else, you guys? I'm trying to get through my introduction part, my time. Well, I'm trying to think what else I need to talk to you guys about that I haven't thought about what's going on. Okay. I can't think of anything else. I guess it's time for break. All right. So when we get back, we'll talk about the Supreme Court will hear Trump's claims he's immune from criminal prosecution. We'll talk about Harvey Weinstein. He gets overturned, his conviction. I'll tell you why I'm for it, okay? Oh, God, don't be mad, okay? I'll just let me explain why I'm for it. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more when I get back. Wait a minute. Okay, we'll talk about that when I get back. Hopefully we'll start off with those three. Okay, when I get back, well, I want to talk about what I was listening to Tone Talks this week, and he was talking about Issa Rae. And the whole thing with Issa Rae and the show Insecure, and he has some very interesting things to say about it. I already knew about this, but somebody else brought it back up this week, and I'm gonna have a discussion a little bit about that as soon as we get back on the show. Okay. Meanwhile, let's listen to Just Be Good SOS Band. It's the CC Show. I'm Carlotta. It's late night. Yes, it is Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? It'll be Wednesday in a few minutes, okay? All right, so we're going to be, so I'll be back in a moment, y'all, okay? I wonder if you're gonna. Are we gonna hear that one on Serenade Tour? Like, I feel like this song replaced Cops Come Knocking. Yeah, can I? I'm really like wanting Till the Cops Come Knocking back, but I don't know if it's gonna ever be back. But you know, hey. All right, it's the CC Show. I am back, and we are talking late night Tuesday hot topics. Well, is it Tuesday? It's almost Wednesday now. Okay, so let's get on with the story. Okay, there was a story I wanted y'all to. Okay, yes. Okay, let's talk about. Well, first let's get on to the. We'll do a little bit of the news first. This first story I wanted to hit up was. This wealthy white Louisiana residents went right to split from Baton Rouge and formed their own city. This is in the New York Post. It says a group of wealthy white Baton Rouge residents have won a decades-long battle to split from the majority black city to form their own suburb following a state Supreme Court ruling. After reversing a lower court decision on Friday, the Supreme Court ruled 4-3 in favor of the incorporation of St. George, which will form in southeast Baton Rouge. This is the culmination of citizens exercising their constitutional rights. We voted and we won, Andrew Murrow, one of the leaders of the St. George campaign, said in a statement following the victory. Now we begin the process of delivering on our own promises of a better city, he added. We welcome both of our friends and foes to the table to create St. George, okay? But it says, much like the case with Central, the last incorporated city to be born in East Baton Rouge Parish, the St. George initiative began with hopes of residents starting a new school district before ultimately deciding to create their own city. Although the St. George supporters failed to garner enough votes in 2015, 4 years later, the initiative won the election before it was stalled by a lengthy court battle, the New York Times reported. Sharon Restert Broom, the mayor-president leading the combined Baton Rouge East Baton Rouge parish governments, has sued the St. George organizers, arguing that the split would siphon more than $48 million in annual tax revenue from the local government. Very interesting, okay? But it says the opposition also argued that St. George would not have the proper budget to operate on its own. Justice William C. Crane, the author of the majority opinion, disagreed with the city's assessment and claimed, of course he did, that a thriving St. George could even become an asset to declining Baton Rouge. Very interesting. Okay, but it says, despite her, how can it, if you're separating it, how can it become an asset? But, you know, okay. Despite her longstanding position, Broom conceded the battle on Friday following the Supreme Court's ruling. The NAACP, however, maintains its fears that the formation of St. George will negatively impact Baton Rouge's majority black community. The St. George's plan poses a significant risk to our education systems, threatens the continuity of critical programs, and challenges community representation, the local chapter of the NAACP said in a statement Monday. The creation of a new municipality introduces considerable uncertainty around funding allocations for our schools, jeopardizing the cornerstones of our community's future education. During the news conference Monday, the St. George Fire Department headquarters, Moreau promised the residents that the new city's official will work to finally set up a new school district as he acknowledges the challenges to come, okay? This is interesting, very interesting. I'd like to know more about it because it does sound like, I don't know how it would add to the school, add to the city with them being thriving and having, you know, and being separated and not being a part of Baton Rouge anymore because you do lose a lot of funding. But I also want to know why did this, they feel so the need so bad to form another city. I'd like to hear their reasoning. Okay, I know some of y'all say, if y'all have to say me stuff, like Tariq always says, Tariq Nasheed, it's because I might not say so. No, but I would like to hear their reasoning behind why they felt they couldn't get certain things done being a part of Baton Rouge. So very interesting story I thought I'd read for y'all, okay? What's next? Okay. Is this Harvey Weinstein New York conviction is overturned. This is according to the New York Times. .com. It says the state's top court ruled that Mr. Weinstein, the disgraced Hollywood producer whose sexual abuse case indicted the Me Too movement, did not receive a fair trial. A separate 16-year sentence in California was not affected. Okay, and he should be over probably turned in California. Okay, it says in a 4-3 decision on Thursday, New York's highest court overturned Harvey Weinstein's 2020 conviction on felony sex crime charges, a reversal that horrified and dismayed many of the women whose decision to speak out against Mr. Weinstein, a prominent Hollywood producer, accelerated the Me Too movement. The New York Court of Appeals agreed with Mr. Weinstein's defense team that the trial judge who presided over the sex crimes case in Manhattan, Justice James Burke, made a critical error when he let prosecutors call as a witness several women who testified that Mr. Weinstein had assaulted them, even though none of those allegations had led to charges. These women became known as Molyneux witnesses, I don't know, a term that refers to trial witnesses who are allowed to testify about criminal acts that the defendant had not been charged with committing. In writing, the majority Judge Jenny Rivera said, permitting such testimony in Mr. Weinstein's case has served to wrongly diminish defendant's character before the jury. The ruling, 4 years after Mr. Weinstein was convicted of forcibly performing oral sex on a production assistant and raping an actress, did not surprise many legal analysts who had questioned whether prosecutors had taken too big a risk in their efforts to win over the jury. In its decision, the court came to the conclusion that the prosecutors had done just that and, along with Justice Burke, had violated the central tenet of criminal trials. Defendants should be judged only on the charges against them, okay? Here are five takeaways from the court's ruling. They said the city cited egregious errors. The court said that trial fairness had been compromised by two key prosecution strategies, the use of the Molyneux witness and the prosecution's disclosure that if Mr. Weinstein took the stand in his own defense, they would ask him about dozens of allegations of other crimes and boorish, frightening behavior, which is crazy because usually you cannot bring, you know, certain stories into the case because it can taint the jury. Even though I don't think Harvey should have been tried in Manhattan, that's one of the things they should have been looking at. You know, it's too much there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Show business, all that stuff. And plus, you know, one of the reasons I think Harvey Weinstein should get, even though I do believe Harvey Weinstein was a creep, okay, but I also believe a lot of women, there were some women who were not raped. I'm not saying, I don't know who was and who wasn't, but some probably was, some from some of the stories, you know, may have had relationships with Harvey Weinstein, okay, and maybe it was relationships you were embarrassed about, you know what I'm saying? Yes, did he abuse his power if he asked you, hey, you got to sleep with me to get this role, girl. But now if you went on and slept with him to get that role, then your ass can get what you get, okay? But now if he made you or forced you, he should be in jail. But I say that when you come in 30 years down the line, 20 years down the line, 40 years down the line, it needs to be a fair trial in a fair venue, in a fair setting, okay? And I think also, you know, I'm getting a little tired of the justice system being used for Hollywood vendettas. That's what my personal opinion is. A lot of this is Hollywood vendettas, people mad at people, big people mad at people, trying to create fake-ass movements to put people in jail that they don't like or people that went against the systems and stuff like that. This is Carlotta's personal opinion, okay? Because if you was clean out Hollywood, it'd been more fallout than Harvey, okay? That's how I feel about that. All right, so let's move on. And I wouldn't be surprised if R. Kelly gets overturned eventually too, because they're working on looking at RICO, talking about him being charged with RICO charges, and he should not have been charged RICO charges. So we'll see how that ends up going. Okay, I know last week it was something they denied him for, but I think there was another thing, precedence, that she was coming about with the RICO thing, okay? Okay, I was going to say, Supreme Court appears skeptical of blanket immunity for a former president, okay? And I agree with that. I mean, blanket immunity. But it says the majority of the Supreme Court appears skeptical of granting a president blanket immunity from prosecution for criminal acts. But it was unclear whether the court would act swiftly to resolve the case against former President Donald Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee for president. This is according to NPR.org. It says the justice pushed lawyers for Trump and a special counsel prosecuting him over the limits of the presidential immunity. But much of their questioning appeared to center on the broad implications of the presidency. Rather, what would it mean for Trump? We're writing a rule for the ages, Justice Neil Gorsuch said. I agree. Justice Samuel Alito, a conservative, asked whether a president might curtail his own actions if he could be prosecuted for actions taken while in office. Interesting. If an incumbent who loses a very close, hotly contested election knows that a real possibility after leaving office is not that the president is going to be able to go into a peaceful retirement, but that the president may be criminally prosecuted by a bitter political opponent, will that not lead us into a cycle that destabilizes the functioning of our country as a democracy, he asked. The question of presidential immunity from criminal prosecution after leaving office has never been decided by the Supreme Court, making Thursday's arguments at the Supreme Court genuinely historic. Specifically, Trump claims that the steps he took to block the certification of Joe Biden's election were part of his official duties and that he thus cannot be criminally prosecuted for them. I agree. Here's what I'm saying, because what we're kind of seeing now is political persecution, political things. It's a political, I think, personally. And, you know, shout out to Joe Kamala. Thank you for what y'all did. But still, I still will say what I say. But I still believe that's a put. You know, I feel like you got to beat them fair and square. You can't be trying to be beaten, coming up with all these bogus court cases and stuff. I mean, talking about him and Stormy Daniels and stuff like that. I mean, come on. I mean, really? But as I said, but I think light things, no. And the question becomes is, how do you jail a president? Because, you know, what does that look like in America? I think that's never happened before because that's very hard to do. I mean, you probably would have to build a separate place for a president to be jailed. I cannot see people jailing a president in a regular jail. That would be very hard. Because the Secret Service always has to be there, the safety reasons. The numbers things, okay? You know, once you get elected to the highest office of the land, and trust me, there have been people in that office that should have had criminal charges. Don't let me get the name of y'all, okay? Listen, I mean, you know, but people usually don't do it. This is why I know Trump is really dangerous to, and not dangerous in a bad way for the public, but dangerous in a bad way for the powers that be, because they are really trying to do away with him. It is very, and you know, and they can't Kennedy people no more. They can, but it's very hard to. You know, now y'all think y'all had cameras back in 1960s and y'all still questioning Kennedy's death. Can you imagine today something like it, that happening? Not that they can't do it, but can you imagine all the videos and the conspiracies and all that stuff that was going on, okay? Hard to get away with that kind of stuff, okay? And then you make him a martyr. And so the question becomes is, how do you do it and for what reasons do you do it? So the Supreme Court is asking a very important question, I think, and one that a lot of people in America probably just really don't think about, because most Americans don't know what happens to presidents after they leave office. They're never really not guarded. There's always somebody on them. Even when people say stuff like, they pulled the protection from the royals over here. No, I don't believe that, okay? I believe that there's always somebody here in America that they might not know, but keeping tabs on them. Because why? They're very important to the crown, the British crown. Even though they have given up the British crown and they've this and that, they disassociate themselves with the British crown, they're still a part of British royalty, okay? And you can bet your ass that somebody's over here watching the ass, okay? And it's the same thing. Americans probably have not had much thought to what does that look like, putting a president in jail, okay? You can't. That's very hard to do. I would think it's not saying that a president shouldn't go to jail. I'm not saying that. But there needs to be, now the Supreme Court can look at when and where and how. Maybe little things. Y'all talking about Stormy Daniels and Frost. I mean, you know, no. But if we're talking about something crazy, yes, you know, tyranny or something. But, and I don't think Trump committed tyranny by questioning votes, okay, questioning the election. I don't think that at all. But very interesting. It says if a president can be put on trial and in prison for most consequential decisions as soon as he leaves office, okay, the looming threat will distort the president's decision-making precisely when bold and fearless action is most needed, he said. Very true. If you're looking at the threat, if you're a president and you're looking at the threat of jail time after you leave office, well, shit, you might not never leave office. You might create situations where it makes it hard to leave office, okay? So it's a very interesting court case. You can read the rest of this article on NPR.org. It's called Supreme Court Appears Skeptical of Blanket Immunity for a Former President. Yes, but they're going to have to lay down some ground rules because I don't think you should be able to put a president in jail for anything. Like they were coming with in Georgia of Fannie Willis, and she didn't have her shit together. And then you have this girl here in New York who's obviously political motives with the Stormy Daniel things. I mean, those are crazy things that probably a lot of presidents who have hoish behavior have done, like Bill Clinton. This is my personal opinion, okay? And people like that, okay? Paying off people. That shit happens all the time in New York with celebrities. And at the time, Donald Trump was probably a celebrity. And I can't please. That's crazy. So very interesting, okay? What's next? Okay, we got to talk about. We talked about that. Okay. Yeah, so I saw an interesting thing this week about Insecure, okay? And Yvette Cornell the ADOS movement had retweeted, and she says this on her tweet. She says, this is about Issa Rae's Insecure and looking back at it and what it meant to Black American culture. Now, I've said this on this show before. I used to watch Insecure. I didn't watch the last two seasons, though. But I did watch I used to watch Insecure. So I don't really even know how Insecure ends. But I did used to watch Insecure, and certain things were good about it, but I remember having this discussion with a friend and even having a discussion with my husband. I've had a discussion with all kinds of people about Insecure. And one of the things that I remember saying, they are very odd in how they use the N-word. It's like almost a caricature of Black people. I even talked about it on this show. I'm like, I could tell that she wasn't really familiar with who she is. You know what I'm saying? Because when you really from the hood, there is a way, you know, you really, across urban centers, it's all different across urban centers in different parts of America. When you grow up as Black ADOS in urban centers in America, so there's generalizations. Not all of them are right, but, you know, we're all unique. But there is generalizations to living in the hood and things you know growing up in ADOS, no matter where you grew up at, that you know is not, like, doesn't seem too normal to us, right? So I'm going to read what Vince said. She said, and this is from, she said on X, she said, and this is why they frequently use the N-word on the show Insecure, but reprimanded Amanda Seals for using it on set. Because remember, Amanda Seals, which we're going to get to a little later, I don't want to talk about Amanda yet, but, and which I'll probably talk about Amanda after the break, but remember Amanda Seals talked about how she wasn't protecting Issa Rae and all the stuff that happened with Amanda during her time on the set of Insecure, which we're going to talk about her interview with Sandra Sharpe a little bit later. But she says the N-word was never to be directed at them or used to describe them. It was only supposed to represent us. Now, this young lady, Yahalum, I think that's her name, Toni Yvette said this about Issa in her show Insecure years ago, okay? But let's listen to this young lady, what she said about it.
What I realized is there are some parallels, but that's not the story she was telling. She was telling her story as an African woman or child who immigrated to America, was likely bullied and targeted for being different by Black Americans and European Americans and Hispanic Americans and et cetera, and who had to acquiesce to Black culture. And she puts it on as a mask. And I say that because what I saw in her production of Insecure felt like a caricature of Black Americans, right? Like, the first season, I was, like, so excited. I was like, yay, all Black cast, and the Black leads are very chocolate. Let's get it. But, like, after that first season, it was a wrap for me. I was like, I can't. The way those characters, like, imitated Black Americans, not Nigerian Americans, not Ghanaian Americans, they were imitating Black Americans four generations deep, five generations deep. And it didn't feel authentic. In fact, it felt like a parody of us. Right? It felt like what these folks do. It was, and really, in particular, it was the way they used the N-word, right? Because I see this with people who, like, have some proximity to Blackness, but ain't Black. And note, when I say Black, I'm talking Black American, right? Anyways, the way they used the N-word, it was the frequency. Like, they would give, like, a script, you know, the script would call for, like, I don't know, 10 sentences, which was a total of, like, 150 words. 75 of those words would be the N-word. Like, y'all are too happy, too excited to use it. You were overusing it, misusing it. It just didn't feel authentic. It felt like someone who, like some had this voyeuristic view into Black culture and wanted so much to be a part of it, but also had no real value and regard for it, and so they made fun of it by putting on this caricature. It never felt authentic. It never felt good. And even, like, Yvonne. You know, I've heard...
Okay, very interesting. It is not, it did not go unnoticed around a lot of Black Americans were having this discussion. I mean, we even used to talk about the soap opera they used to have playing in the background, and we was like, what's that about? We did recognize it. I know Issa is half a Black American. Her mother's from Louisiana, but Issa was raised in the Senegalese or Senegal. She was not raised in America. I think she didn't get to America to come back till she was 14 years old. They left when she was very young, stuff like that. So Tone gives a great commentary on it. I put this on the Carlotta Chatwood show. But we did notice it. It's like you would notice the use of the N-word like a lot. I mean, it was just certain things, and it was certain things that you just didn't see, like among, like certain weird behaviors. You knew, you're like, where did they get that from? Or just stuff like that. And so it's very true that I really saw this early on. And here, things like this is making me realize how classism, not only is Black American racism, what happened to Ados, rooted in Black American racism regarding our race as Black Americans, but it's also rooted in classism and lineage. And this is what Yvette Carnell and them have been saying for the longest. And other people have said it before them, too. But Yvette and them have done such a thorough, good job to me of researching and everything like that, that you do see this. Today, but I started reading a couple of days ago. I read this article about this Black African model who got discovered here in America, right? And as I was reading, because I read a lot of stuff. She was in Harper's Bazaar. Somebody get Harper's Bazaar. So I read a lot of shit, okay? But very interesting thing was she was describing, like, you know, her lifestyle, childhood, how she came here and everything like that. But in it, you could see one of the things she talked about is how she has a group of friends, and she says, She said, I just call my friends and say, what country are you in? And we go and hang out. I'm like, what? You know what I'm saying? And I had to think of it in the backdrop of being America, a descendant of American slaves, and how a lot of us Black Americans, not all, a lot of us have never been outside of outside of the country. A lot of even Black Americans have not even been out their urban centers in America. I remember going to L.A. one time to visit some people, and they hadn't been to Hollywood. No, this is real shit. They had lived in L.A. for a long time. And they was in the hoods, like watching, saying, oh, I ain't really paid. Hadn't even been to Beverly Hills. This was years ago, okay? So it speaks to, and it was very interesting to me because it speaks to the dynamics, the difference. How much easier it was for her to flow into modeling and become the representation of Black American women. I even see the difference about how Tyra Banks gets cheated versus Naomi Campbell. You know what I'm saying? So, which to me, what happens is that I think a lot of these designers and stuff like that, they depend on Black American girls. Black American hood girls and stuff is making a lot of their shit popular and popping, right? But for models and stuff like that, they tend to use people from other countries, not Black American. You don't see a lot of dark Black American women up there. A lot of times it's dark Black African women, okay, and stuff like that. And I have to think about, is that some sort of lineage thing? Or is that some sort of, you know what I'm saying? Is that, do you consider, oh, that do the designers and stuff consider that being easier to deal with? That being more something different, something more erotic or something like that? And so we're not understanding sometimes what we're seeing. I think this is going on a lot in Hollywood, even with among Black celebrity, because what happens with Black celebrity is they will rise the wave of Black Americans, right? You know, you acting all hood and everything and your music and all your, you know, or your stuff and everything. You ride off of Black people. But then when you're in your spaces, in your wealth spaces, you're no longer carrying the culture with you. You start doing strange shit, or you start being into strange shit, or you start lifting up strange things and shit like, you know what I'm saying, or stuff like that, and consider it, like, for me, who would be a good example of that? Kanye West, right? You know, you ride up in the hood, but suddenly now you, so it doesn't mean you shouldn't expand your mind, don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean you shouldn't expand and learn from other people and other groups and other things, but it's funny how suddenly Blackness, Adolfness starts to not be cool anymore, even though you made your wealth off of that, and even others that act like that. And so we're seeing, this is a very interesting, and you even seeing it tonight, even with this beef with Drake, because a lot of Adolf people are starting to see, Drake is cosplaying, even though his dad is African-American, but he knows nothing about hood life and urban life. He's cosplaying Black Americans, okay? And then especially what he said after what he said in his one of his songs and stuff like that. So it's a very interesting dynamic. It's some shit I just never realized. And one of my friends had even said to me about a particular artist. She said, do you think, because we were having a discussion about videos, and we were talking about different people, Black Americans, of Black American women, and how we support certain artists and stuff like that. And she was telling me and her were having a discussion. She said, I bet this particular artist, she said, never has had a Black American woman in his video. And I said, oh my God, really? Shit. And she said, oh, yeah. She said, so it looks to us as Black women, you know, we're not realizing the racial prejudice and shit going on. Like she's saying, we're not realizing the classism, the lineage, divide or stuff like that. She said, we're not really realizing it because Black Americans are things that we have pumped up, like, you know, loving people regardless of their skin color, trying to take away the colorism that is haunting our community. So when we see somebody have a dark-skinned woman in their videos, we're like, oh, yeah, they got the dark-skinned sister. Oh, yeah, that's how we do it. They have sisters of all colors and everything like that. But what we don't probably see is this person, this particular person she was talking about, does not have Black American women who majority support them. And I thought to myself, that's crazy. You might be right. I had to go back and kind of look. And I was like, I don't know if that's true or not. But it was a very interesting thing. She said she had been looking because this particular artist, she's like, it's really popular. And known for, you know, not being a colorist, but maybe you're a lineage. You know what I'm saying? Like, not in terms of lineage, you know, I'm okay with that. But it's like, because in some ways we want to up our, especially Black Americans, we want to up, we've done, our lineage, we feel like it's important to the culture, but it's almost like you're selling to us one thing, but we're really not understanding what we're seeing. You know what I'm saying? So it's a very interesting dynamic, and you get to wonder, as Black Americans, do a lot of people just see us as the dollar bill signs that sit at your concerts or at your movies and things like that because you have black face and you act like us on screen or you sing music that we're familiar with, but you really have no clue about the culture in whom you serve. Ooh, like that's wild to me because it is a completely different culture. You know what I'm saying? Like one of my best girlfriends in the world, her background is, she's from St. Thomas. Her background is her dad was Puerto Rican, and her mom is from the islands. I forget which island, but it's not St. Thomas, but she was born in St. Thomas. Okay, so we always talk about it all the time. It is so, we're different. We love each other. We got some things alike, but we different. That's one of my best girlfriends. But we talk about this all the time. She's like, yeah, she said, oh, it's a lot of that people who come cosplay y'all. You know, and stuff like that. So she said, not give no love and everything. Like, you know, so it's a very interesting dynamic. And she even talks about, you know, like the racism and stuff like that that goes on even among certain groups and stuff, right? Her mom is, I think, Dominican or something like that, part Dominican or something, because she even talks about the racial hatred, you know, of Haitians, like, you know, like Dominicans and Haitians. And her background being partly Dominican, now here's the interesting thing, she's dark, right? So years ago, like she used to tell us, like when she first, you know, she was dealing with her racial things about Haitians, right? She was like, she started teaching, and she was like, when she got to school, because she teaches at private schools, because she's a principal at a Christian church school, but this was many years ago, and she was saying how she didn't realize she still held those beliefs and crazy things, but she said till she walked in one day to her classroom, and the majority of her students in her classroom were Haitian backgrounds, she was like, and she said, did she realize, oh, my God, I'm still having a lot of that, you know, blah, blah. You know, so it's a very interesting, so it's a very different dynamic. We always laugh and talk about how we are not the same. I am a foreign, she is a foreign culture to me, I am a foreign culture to her, okay? Being ADOS, American descendants of slaves, is very different than being Caribbean, okay, or being even first generation American Caribbean. Okay, so it's a very different dynamic. So you don't realize sometimes what we're seeing. How are we seeing? So that's a very interesting thing. So when we get back, I'm going to talk more about this and a little bit more about what Tone said about this. I think this is a great discussion, and y'all to go look at Tone Talk so y'all can hear this conversation he had about it, his commentary he had about it. It was really good. But I'm going to go on break real quick, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about more of that, and we'll get to our hot topics and everything like that. Meanwhile, we're going to listen to Ready or Not after 7. It's the CC Show. I'll be back in a moment.
For the very best in government, politics, celebrity entertainment, music news, tune into the Carlotta Chatwood Show right here on Block Talk Radio.
Welcome back.
Okay, so, yeah, okay, I'm back on the Carlotta Chatwood Show. We were having a discussion about Issa Rae insecure, adolescence, misunderstanding of enslavement, and how that Issa Rae, the big elephant in the room, is how awkward Issa Rae's show was. And it's just, you know, in lineage and race in America, and I was talking about how I had read this article on Harper's Bazaar, and, you know, just, and I was reading about an African model who's very beautiful, by the way, but it was so interesting about, it shows such the difference between Black Americanness, even in Africanness, how we're perceived, even in our own country. You know, I even think about people like, even with classism, you know, I think about women like Mary J. Blige, and I always say Mary J., who I love, but I said Mary J. would probably be way bigger had she been more Beyonce-like. You know, Beyonce, she doesn't have the Beyonce background, right? Mary J. is really hood. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's just New York hood through and through, right? Very Adolphus, right? And why, that's why she was so familiar to people all, you know, across the United States, because, you know, Black girls from the hood could see themselves in Mary J. Blige, right? And coming up in urban centers in America, we kind of knew that feel. And it's very interesting how the perceptions are in class and race. And as I read that article, it just dawned on me, like, wow, how much the limitations of ADOS in America. Like, the limitation, I mean, it was a very powerful moment to read. But, you know, and how we, how the opportunities and things are vastly different. And so I want to listen to a little bit of Tone, what he said about this. And I thought this was worth it, a little bit of a discussion today. Oh, and by the way, I looked up a little bit of this particular person I'm talking about. I looked up, they did have a couple of videos, I think, with American women, and I think they were celebrities already. So, but we were talking about non-celebrities, like, you know, which is interesting because we're like, is that a matter of how do you see Black American women? Because, you know, there have been caricatures about us all over the world, but now you have so many people trying to be us and act like us. The caricatures that we thought were, people told us were bad about us, and now all of a sudden you have people of different cultures, everything, adopting caricatures. It's a very interesting thing about classism and how we're perceived as women, as Black women. It's just very, especially if you come from the background in of 6 and 7 generations deep in America, 5 and back, you know. So, and I'll say this, even if you came here, like, people often talk about Cicely Tyson. And people will say Cicely Tyson was Caribbean, but Cicely Tyson's family had been here so long. Cicely Tyson didn't even, I don't think Cicely even looked at herself that way anymore, because 5 to 7 generations in her, she was steeped in Adolphus. She knew nothing about Jamaica. I mean, the Caribbean or whatever. She's from Sicily. Even when she talked about them talking about jobs and taking jobs in Hollywood, she identified herself, I remember, I think, with Adolph. She said, they're taking these Africans to take a job. But she didn't consider her, I think, because she had been here. We've been here since the 1800s. I consider, because Adolf was the dominant culture, so you probably, it wasn't too many people before post 1965 here that were not, that were of different descent than, you know, African Americans. There were people, but not as many as you see today, okay? Post 1965 is what 1965 civil rights movement and stuff is what caused the immigration flow. But before that, very, very, very little people. Like you had people like Harry Belafonte, and even I look at that differently now. Harry Belafonte, Sidney Poitier, and I often now I look at say I look at why those two were chosen versus Ozzy and stuff like that. It's a very interesting thing. And how white America perceived, you know, has Caribbean and things like that, has safer, right? But those guys were probably steeped in Adolf, right? You know, even though they were had the Caribbean background and stuff like that, but everything was steeped probably a lot in Adolf. So it's a very interesting thing, even though coming in very Caribbean-like, but I think there's even a Sidney Poitier, I think, even talked about how, I think it was him, talked about it was easier for him to move being Caribbean, you know, stuff like that. So it's a very interesting. Yeah, you know, it makes you see things and how whites in Hollywood perceive, because, you know, trust me, perceiving you differently from American, the Adolf people, okay? But let me just so that you hear a little bit of Tone talk about this, Issa Rae, and I'll let y'all tell y'all where y'all can go hear his full commentary. Let me see, do I got it on here? Okay. Let's take a listen. I'm going to pull it up here for y'all.
That's the clip, and it didn't feel like it. It was that. And I tried to tell y'all that 7 years ago, and didn't nobody want to hear it, including somebody like this young woman that either watched the show, made the show, she had the script. Because you are immersed in this false image of flat blackness. Even to this day, she's struggling, black American. And not just say Adolf, it'll make it easier for you, sweetheart. Let's talk. So I told people ahead of time Issa Rae was masking Adolf black folk. People were confused. Well, here it is explained on the set of Insecure. I think she was talking about the script. So I'm presuming she was on the set of in some way. Lord, people be struggling. That lady was a black character on that show. So, again, when she says Tone and Yvette, she's talking about myself and Yvette Carnell. Shout out to Breaking Ground. But we ain't Insecure, so I don't know nothing about that. My mama and daddy had me at 16, like 16, 17. They were never together during my life, to my understanding. I ain't had no mama and daddy. I was a doctor. Almost everybody in my family, damn near, never left the country. In the 70s, I don't think that people understand how odd this thing was. I don't think people understand how odd it is that now, from Obama to Kamala to Issa Rae, there appears to be this international project to make us skate past the cost of being Adolf and the suffocation of it all by using people that are extreme aberrations, and then white folks saying, we're going to make them president of America, or we're going to give them a show, even if there ain't no show here. This didn't do nothing but track them reality shows. Wasn't nothing good about it. But it anchors right into that whole black middle class, Windsor Hills, Ladera Heights stuff that we've seen. I want to go back because I want to make sure everybody understands where I come from and how long the discussion has been going on. Right now, I'm going to cut in a two-minute clip, but at the end of the show, there's going to be 10 minutes with myself and Yvette over the years talking about this Issa Rae, this Insecure, talking about how she don't want to talk about race. Lived in Senegal and in Potomac with the white people. Then you came over here at 14 to Ladera. That's one of the wealthiest. They call that the Black Beverly Hills. When did you get to experience blackness? To be making a TV show. Now the question becomes about Africans. If you half Nigerian or you half Senegalese and you half African American, what is your obligation when your daddy or your daddy starts talking, presuming he's the African, bad about African Americans? What you gonna say? Oh, you gonna go quiet?
This is a very interesting show. You guys can see the rest of it. I want to play all of it, but you guys can listen to it on Tone Talks on YouTube. Tone Talks, he's a lawyer. He's really, him and Yvette have been talking about reparations, ADOS, and everything for a long time. I noticed it years ago, but, and we talked about it somewhat. I used to talk about it a little bit on our show. There is such a difference. Like, my girlfriend, like, we even talk about it to each other. She's like, you know, she's bilingual. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Not to say there's not many black people that's bilingual. I was learning Spanish when I was in seventh, eighth grade. I forgot about the time I hit about 12th grade. No, I was speaking it in 12th grade. I probably forgot it by the time I was like a sophomore in college or something like that. But yeah, but that's, I learned it because I took a class in school. You had to have Spanish. But she's fluent in like two or three languages. But that's because she's from another place. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't have like Tone Talk specification of ADOS. What is happening to us? And that's what I was talking about. You know, I was looking at even reading the Harper's Bazaar. And the young black African girl who's here who got discovered and everything like that, and her discovery and her kind of Cinderella story in America, but her story is not steeped in the suffocation of ADOS. And I love what when Tone says that, because a lot of ADOS, and it's a small percentage of ADOS that grew up in the upper echelons and stuff like that. I remember one time I was dating a guy. This is a true story, okay? I met a guy. Let me tell you how, because I always say it on here. I was considered, we in Kansas City, the lower middle class, okay, in the hood. No, this wasn't lower middle class in the suburbs. This is my friends and my husband and them described my neighborhood. They said, you was at the end of the hood. You were still in the hood when you thought I was at the end. Right, but we were still in the hood, right, you know what I'm saying? So we still had to be street smart. We still had to be, you know what I'm saying, everything like that. I went to church with my grandparents and stuff like that. And when I was 13 or 14, though, it was so weird. When I was 5 years old, this is no joke. My grandparents will tell you this because I've always been interested in other cultures and other people and things like that. So, I started going to my great-grandparents. I would go visit my great-grandparents' house. And so I felt like I couldn't understand our preacher. And my grandpa would always be laughing. I'm like, she ain't got to go see that. So you can go, let her go down there to the Nazareth folks. And the Nazarene people would give out cookies and punch, right? And they was all white. And I was so fascinated. I thought, I want to know what them people down there doing at that Nazarene church. So at 5 years old, I used to go to the Nazarene church. Sometimes my grandparents would let me go, like, every other Sunday when I go visit my great-grandparents, and I'd go to church at the Nazarene church at 5 years old. My great-grandfather would watch me go down the street. And he'd come, and when I got ready to come out, the lady would call him and say, Alpha, because they all knew my great-grandfather, Kiki's on her way back or whatever. and they watch you walk down the street or whatever. And it was that my great-grandparents lived in here too, but Nazarene churches, if you knew back then, they were set up in the black neighborhoods. But they would give, you know, they would have little things for black kids. But for some reason, where my great-grandparents lived, it was a lot of white people in the building. My great-grandfather was a janitor for this building. He was a janitor for three buildings. And here's the weird thing, across the alley, yes, that's how it was, across the alley was like a total hood, like total hood apartments and stuff like that. Then on the other side of the alley was where all these older, well-to-do white people lived. And my great-grandfather was janitor, and he ran all those buildings while the people who owned the buildings were gone. So my great-grandparents, my great-grandfather was running the buildings, right? And so... And so at one time, even in the 70s, my great-grandparents lived in the basement of the building, okay? It's very interesting. It's just an interesting story about talk about it. But I would go to the Nazarene church. I'd be the only black kid in there. And they have cookies and punch. And my great grandfather always said, she liked him. She liked one of the Texas and white people. And so I continued this practice. Even when I would just have to go to my grandparents' church sometime. And then when I got older, I went to another white church, Forest Avenue. I did it because I wanted to expand like a little bit of my knowledge. I was always like that, right? And so it was a very interesting, but I was still very, and then even then I realized differences, right? And, man, I was telling y'all that because I was getting to a point. But being, growing up in the hoods and stuff like that, back in those days, I mean, the Midwest was very segregated, very, very segregated, and not unlike New York City, because we're post-1965, just coming to New York, lots of immigrants into New York and stuff like that, right? So ADOS is even changing its scope in New York. So very different if you grew up ADOS in New York versus ADOS in you're exposed to a little bit more cultures and different things like that. In the Midwest, it was not like that, right? Except like maybe Latinos or something like that. There was lots of limitations on what you understood, how you understood race. And even then, I think we know lineage things and stuff like, you know, situations and stuff like that. But you can see very distinct differences in learning, all these things that Tone is talking about, and then I was raised by my grandparents. Why was I raised by my grandparents? Because my mom was a 17-year-old mom. My dad, a little older than her, street hood hustler. Right, and my mama was street. Okay, if I tell you what my parents was, y'all be like, oh, Lord. Right? And so that's how, so a lot of ADOS has those stories, you know, especially, you know, it's a very few wealth in ADOS, right? Not a lot of wealth. So, you know, so when he talks about, where would you learn blackness? Even when I was growing up, my cousins who started moving into the suburbs, and even people I know say this is how some of the family members that you have live in the suburbs. They would come to the hood so they could be street smart with us. You know, I understand what he's saying. Where did she learn blackness? And how was she able to put that on screen? But she didn't really learn it, because we could see it. We could see it throughout Insecure, right? So it's a very Black Americanness when I say blackness. Okay, I'm not talking about y'all nuts, because a lot of y'all be from different cultures. Like I say, we are Black, yes, but I'm talking about blackness as defined by Black American culture. Okay, and Black American culture defines a lot of what is culture, Black culture around the world today. Because, like I have said on this show many times, we were a superpower, you know, and just our stories went out. Okay, but it's a very interesting thing. I like this discussion that we're having, and we're even seeing it with Drake. I mean, even Kendrick Lamar and them talking about, hey, you're cosplaying Black hood people who grew up in these hoods and these neighborhoods and stuff like that. You don't know nothing about that life. You don't know nothing. You really like a little, you know what I'm saying? You really like certain things. It, you know, even in the hoods, there was layers to things. Like when I was in the hood, you know, my group of friends was considered some of the smart girls and stuff in the hood and stuff like that. They both, they parents up in that house. So it was different, right? So my grandfather being a construction worker and stuff, we was hood fabulous a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So there was differences, levels to these things. And then I have girlfriends who was being raised by, I had one girlfriend, her mama was, her mama was kind of crazy. She had drank a drink when she was a young girl, you know, and she used to walk around the neighborhood and in the middle of the night just went crazy because she was, had lost it. But she was raising like 7 kids. And my friend was one of them, okay? So, you know, you had some like the hood, and you had some real too. So it was, I mean, it's very, and the Midwest is very different. And I know, like, so visiting, and when I go to the South, you see extreme differences, you know, and impoverishment in different ways. Like, when I would go to Mississippi, I was like, but even when I went to some of the most liberal places like California, my first time in California, I remember, going to Watts. I was like, Watts was Sanford or something, but it was not. It was the very nice spots in Watts in the 70s, right? And I remember, it was still hood, but it was like levels. It was, but it was very different from in being in the Midwest where we had these big old houses and stuff like that. We went to California and they was living in little houses, little piece. You walk in the door, you step right out the porch. You step out the back porch. So it's a very interesting, but one thing that Adolf, everything that one thing we all had understood was poverty growing up in America in our different cities and what that would represent, and especially in the introduction of the crack era and stuff like that. So, yeah, I find this is to be a great discussion. We've seen a lot of it now come out with Drake, how they starting to come at Drake and saying Kendrick Lamar, this is from Ronza Smith, that says drags Drake for 6 minutes, okay? And let's, we can listen. He says, they're talking about they don't think he's been dogwalking like this since Pusha T. That's euphoria. But on it, he says a lot of interesting things about Drake. And it's all directed at culture, not really being, understanding the culture, robbing it. Because a lot of people like to rob Black Americans, right? Because we're the gateway to the culture. When you come into America, even if you're a person who is from a different country, I even see this with my fave, okay? I always say my fave master is Haitian and Puerto Rican, right? So, sometimes I can see the difference when he's going to say, like, I see certain things, I'm like, okay. But with him, how can I say it? Trying to figure out how to, what I was going to say. Like with him, you might have been raised around Adolf and maybe become friends with Adolf or something like that. I don't know if that's the time in New York City because it was after 1965. So he's growing up in a very different New York City. But his experience, you can tell, is different. Like, I can tell that listening to him. I can tell certain things. And certain things, I noticed that there is never a description of Black America has a separate lineage or group. He always says, well, I'm not from the South, like, you know, the end. So I'm like, look, I mean, Black people migrated all over America. I mean, but there is this, so sometimes even with him, I have always wondered are we just an audience to you, or Black Americans, or do you really understand Black American culture that kind of adopted you, but do you kind of understand it? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, sometimes we're a paycheck to people. It's like, okay, you know what I'm saying? I don't want that to, I like these Black American people. Thank you for coming out to see me, and I like y'all music, and I know y'all through the radio, but I really don't know what Adolfness means. And if you're living in the celebrity world, Black American celebrities feel like they foregone Adolfness, so they usually use Adolfness to go a certain place, and then they try to shrug it off, right? So it's just a very interesting conversation. I'm sure this will be more of a conversation that's going to be being had because a lot more, because even with the situation with Drake right now and stuff like that, being from Canada and stuff like that, I think that we're going to hear a lot more of these conversations about, and even he, you know, on this album, I mean, on this song, Kendrick comes at him. You know, he plays the race card about him saying he wondered about him saying nigga, the word nigga. He talks about him coming and robbing the culture or something like that. Even I have a girlfriend. Speaking of, this is a side piece. I had a girlfriend from years ago who I used to go to church with. Her mother was from America, but her father was from Africa, and she moved to Africa when she was very young. She is an African to me. She knows nothing about, you know what I'm saying, Adolf life. Even though her mother is American, she knows nothing that she knows nothing about, right? So it is a very interesting dynamic and the differences of those differences that I think are very important to understand and to know, and that Black Americans come more into appreciating ourselves and loving ourselves. I think there are going to be more discussions about whether do people really appreciate us as a culture, or do you just see us as a way, even if you're another Black person, do you just see us as a way to build careers and money and stuff like that? So it's just very interesting, okay? I thought that was so this is a great discussion, okay? So I'll probably try to discuss more about this later on, okay? But let's get into some other news. So I told you I got to get into some other news to see. We got the, okay. Let's talk about Drake. I had the lyrics up, but I don't know. You know who does a great job of talking about hip-hop stuff is Thought Crimes. If y'all never listened to Thought Crimes, I don't know them or whatever. I'm just shouting them out because they wanted to dope. I've been listening to Thought Crimes for years. They are so dope. I like them. Y'all should check them out. I like to hear what they say about certain things like this. Also, you know, I always like all the weird people who are different. Then first, you want really different for no fame, stuff like that. But I really love Thought Crimes because I feel like I love their takes on hip-hop. And I feel like I always learn something from them. So they're really neat to listen to, okay? Let's talk about, let's see what else we got up here. Talking about, you know, y'all got pulled up. I told y'all I got no show today. Okay, speaking of Kendrick Lamar's longtime girlfriend, they're saying, this is from XO Nicole, they're saying that his longtime girlfriend is going to, let me see this, if I can pull it up. Okay, okay. Kendrick Lamar's longtime partner, Whitney Alford, gives a rare glimpse into her private life. Okay, this is from XOTheCode.com. Now, listen, I don't understand you girls who, if you got a private life, if you're not a blogger, if you're not a podcaster, if you're not a reality star or show, I don't understand how you girls would want to give up your privacy. If I'm with a celeb, I'm quiet. Listen, they don't have, like I said, they be having to do a stakeout to catch me. But unless I'm a celebrity myself, then it's a branding situation. I get it, but then I also understand it becomes your world too. So, you want people to get to know you and stuff like that. But here's the interesting story article. She says Whitney Alford's presence can be seen in her all throughout her longtime partner Kendrick Lamar's impressive rap career, inspiring such deep cuts like the 2009 song She Needs Me and providing background vocals to Pimp a Butterfly. Okay, so she's an actress or a singer, I think, or a vocalist, they say, okay? Wesley Siri and King Kunta. Perhaps the most visible she has been was in his latest Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, where she appeared on the album's cover art with the couple's two children as well as the visual for a single count me out, okay? You know, I don't want to be like, here's one thing. If my kids, if I had children by a celebrity, I would let my children be out there. I love the way Jay-Z and Beyonce do that. One thing, I ain't into Jay-Z and Beyonce all like that. I will come for them. But one thing I loved about them, one thing I do love that they do is help their children accept all of this, all of that, what they're dealing with, all of that circus. They lean them into it, and they seem to be guiding, specifically Blue Ivy being the oldest, very well. And you're starting to see the other one come out a little bit, the little girl, other twin girl or something like that or whatever. But I love that they are so good with, you know, helping them embrace the circus that is around them, okay? So that's the greatest compliment they're going to ever get from me, and I'm pretty sure. No, they've gotten good compliments from me before, but I feel like from what I can see, I'm just an outsider looking in, I don't know nothing about them, but from what I can see, their parenting skills in that circus looks awesome, how they're navigating them to walk in that circus, okay? Even Kim Kardashian, I think, does somewhat of a good job. I think sometimes North is a little grown, but I still think she does a good job with it, okay? But it says, I'm not a person, I ain't got time. Now, one thing I ain't got time to be doing is hiding no kids and stuff. It's people who are great at, no, I've only known one person. I only know one celebrity that I say they're great at hiding their personal shit. I thought it's Maxwell. I'm trying to think of somebody else. I don't know nobody else. Because you don't know what his mama look like. You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing about nothing. Okay? That's kind of dope. Okay? But I'm not a person that's going to hide my kids. I ain't got time for that. They need to understand the circus. Okay? If you in it, you gotta help them understand the circus. Okay? That's just my personal opinion. Unless you got them somewhere apart from it all, hiding on a desert island somewhere or in a different country or something. So that's a different story, okay? But it says a 37-year-old makeup artist has been with Kendrick since they were teenagers, with the couple meeting while attending Centennial High School, okay? He said, I don't even like the term that society has put in the world as far as being a companion. She's somebody I can tell my fears to. Months later, he confirmed to the Breakfast Club his engagement to his day one. I'm loyal to the soul. At the end of the day, you want to always have real people around you, period. Everybody that has been around me has been down since day one, and I can't change that. I don't change that for nobody. I always show respect when respect is being given. And people that's been by your side, you're supposed to honor that. That's how you stand up. And they talk about her being in his stuff, but she says, without a doubt, the most transparent and self-reflective he has ever been about his family life was most recent body of work, Mr. Morale in the Big Steppers in 2022. He gave insight into his past with cheating and addictions as a means of escapism. The song Mother, I Sober, features lyrics about how his lust addiction impacted his relationship with Whitney rapping. Intoxicated, there's a lustful nature that I failed to mention, insecurities that I project, sleeping with other women, Whitney's hurt. The pure soul I know, I found her in the kitchen asking God, where do I lose myself? And it can't be forgiven. And then she talks a little bit down here. She said, I was struck in a time and place that was no longer my reality. I was stuck in a time and place that was no longer my reality. And was no longer serving me. My baby forced me to take a look at myself and journey back through the very things that made me. Okay, so I want to talk about this because this is, for the last several weeks, and I don't know, I may have somebody out here who's a celebrity or someone going with a celebrity or something, because when I stay on something a lot, that means I got somebody who needs to hear it, okay? But listen, I've been talking a lot of several weeks about how if you're dating someone, not just a celebrity, but somebody who's got access to a lot of women or popular and stuff like that, or in their hometown, it could be anything, you know what I'm saying, but specifically celebrity and stuff like that. Now, he talked about cheating on her. Very interesting thing she talked about. They talked about them being together since high school and stuff like that. My personal opinion, and here's my thing I'll say on this, just reading her story here and everything, I just thought this was an interesting point to make for somebody. I thought it was very interesting that First of all, men always in entertainment think this. I have this idea of, yeah, I'm going to keep the person that was, you know, they was behind me, they knew me in high school. You know, they stuck by me for half a month. Okay. I would say that that is such a crazy idea, just because, no offense, I understand it, but there's so much growth that takes place between high school and other, and you becoming a celebrity or a star or fame and stuff like that. You know, a very wise person once told me that men are only as faithful as their options. Men are only as faithful as their options. And so I was like, wow, shit. Now, I don't believe that's always true. You know, they were saying this for a reason. Here's what I would say about this story when reading it, because it focused a lot on her home life and everything, about losing yourself and stuff like that, and regaining yourself and everything like that. I would say that sometimes what happens with women like this in situations, I'm not speaking about her in particular, but just what I observed, I don't know. But when you are dating a man and he suddenly come into fame and wealth and all these things, my advice to women would be to give him a moment. Don't try to stick in there, because you're seeing the big payoff, so pick payday come. Give him a moment, because, you know, there was once a loyalty to you, but now the world has opened up. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying because people don't see everybody in the world and stuff like that, but there is something for a guy who picks you, and he's had all his options and stuff. You know what I'm saying? He's like, damn, you know he can get it popping with anybody, right? But he picks you because he wants you, and not because he's been limited in his options, right? And so I feel like what happened with men like Kendrick Lamar and stuff like that, where they talk about cheating for us and stuff like that, and him saying his insecurities I project sleeping with other women, really hurt the pure soul I know and stuff like that. I always say, you know, I always be careful if you're not somebody, they may love you, but you also may be their comfort zone, right? And just because you've been knowing somebody from high school and stuff like that doesn't mean you're meant to, that you should be that person, right? And history is a big thing, okay? But things change and people change. And so I found this a very interesting, her talking about her losing herself and stuff like that. And a lot of times in these type of relationships, it's because sometimes women did not back, a lot of women won't back off and give them his time to, and you your time. Because you got to see who you want that shit, right? Right? But give people their time to do whatever they need to do and figure it out. Okay, young lady. Okay, that's what I found very interesting in this thing. I mean, she had already had children, I think, and she said 2022 also marked a new era of transparency online for Whitney on social media. This is what they're talking about. The mother, too, shared a portrait of herself holding her youngest child, captured by Raniel Mardreno, on her Instagram account and opened up about her mental health struggles to her followers in May 2022. In the photo, she is standing in the light but also shrouded in some darkness and shadows around her. We all know what others see may not be a true reflection of how we feel. This pic is a great representation of how I felt for many years, she began, okay? So she concluded, what's this, something said, Whitney wrote, a therapist changed everything for her and jump-started her personal transformation. After a few years of hard work, I can finally say I hear my own voice in me, and it's very powerful. I use my smile when I feel it's genuine, and it's beautiful, she shared. She concluded, allowing the world in and sharing my experience is one of the greatest fears, but truth always is very important for me. I've lived this a sober lifestyle in every single part of it, with the exception of mastering how to float when it's all too much, but I yearn to be centered, to flow, to heal, to enjoy life. Okay. You know, and I feel like a lot of this, let me tell you, she gave a rare glimpse in her with photos of her daughter and stuff like that. That's why I say that, you know, I would just, this is just my advice, just reading her article and losing yourself and everything and being with a dude like Kendrick Lamar, who got now, you know, he comes into fame, he's become the hottest rapper at one point, and you're there because he trusts you and all this stuff. But yet he should. Sometimes, ladies, if you find yourself in those situations, the best thing I say you can do for yourself is to give that person space. Because otherwise, he'll take you through a bunch of shit, okay? And you'll be like, I feel like I'm losing myself. No offense to her, the young lady, but that's how, you know what I'm saying? You'll start to feel the pull down of him not understanding where he wants to go and where he wants to be, okay? And, you know, men's worlds open up when it's fame and money. Other new bitches come out. Unless you're married and stuff like that. And that's a whole other story. If you're married and all of a sudden you come into, your spouse come into some money and some wealth and all that stuff and everything like that, oof, that's still different. Okay? Because suddenly, I mean, you know what the options, and a lot of people say, oh, well, you don't stay together, no matter. But suddenly the options you had today is not the options you got tomorrow. You know, and you have to decide and navigate, can you continue that road and stuff. So it's a very interesting thing. I found it very interesting. I thought the article was interesting about that, you know, listen, it's great when a man can, he knows that sometimes people know you the one because they just like, you know, they're comfortable with you, they trust you. But I think, I always say to people, it is more than just comfortability and trust with a person. I feel like you have to have a sense of, spiritually understanding your connection and your space in that person's life. Because if you don't understand that, and there aren't those discussions, and there aren't those, you know what I'm saying? Then that stuff, that trust stuff, you know, that's just because, you know, it could go out the window. You know what I'm saying? Quickly, okay? Especially when the world opens up, okay? All right, so very interesting. I thought that article was interesting. Next one we're going to talk about, child. Okay, we got Kendrick Lamar. I got to talk about Kendrick. Who did I say I don't think I was going to talk to y'all about? Okay, we talked about Issa Rae. Child, let's talk. Are we ready to talk about Britney Spears yet? Because y'all might owe Britney's daddy an apology, okay? I want y'all. Y'all might need to go apologize to Britney Spears. But I tell y'all, in time it will reveal. Okay? I said this from the get-go. I said from the get-go that time was going to reveal some things, okay? And that's what it seems like has happened. Let me look up here. They said Britney Spears, this according to TMZ, they're saying is completely dysfunctional and in danger of going broke. Now, remember, TMZ was also the ones running around here with Free Britney movement, okay? But I digress. It says Britney Spears in serious danger on both the mental and financial front is doing way worse than she was under the conservatorship. Source with direct knowledge tells TMZ. As for her mental health, our sources say Britney is completely dysfunctional. Since the conservatorship ended, she has no supervision and, according to sources, has radical mood swings, and we're told are shocking. We're told she's almost totally isolated and, as it was put to us, dangerously unstable. Okay, Britney. This is where it's going to get scary, okay? But I'm going to come back to that. It says, we're told the few people who remain in Britney's life say she was doing much better when she was under a conservatorship. I'm going to just sit here and let y'all think about this, okay? has one sir said, I knew how that conservative ship started. I said, where's that movement coming from? The documentary, all that. I said, somebody put a fund into that. They about to robbery. I knew exactly what it was. And one sir said she had a lot of freedom in the conservative ship, and the restrictions were there to protect her. She's not protected anymore. See, look at this. Now, y'all done fucked up her daddy's life, got her daddy up there sick and shit, allegedly, and mama ain't looking. Y'all done made her parents look like they wasn't shit. Now, our parents ain't perfect, but I believe they loved this girl and was doing what was best. Our Britney sources are angry at what's happened since the conservatorship ended, saying she's got absolutely no justice, and that involves her finances. We're told Britney has been spending a fortune, that's what they're telling y'all, and is in real danger of going broke. Our sources said she's been going to French Polynesia, staying at the Brando, and spending close to $1 million each trip between private jets, hotel staff, et cetera. She goes every month or two. We're told she also goes to Hawaii almost monthly by herself, taking a private jet, staying at the presidential suite at Four Seasons, and dropping $350K a trip. She cannot afford this. She had $60 million when the conservatorship ended, and she's now where the conservatorship started, in danger of going broke. As we reported, she's paid north of $4 million to her attorney, Matthew Rosengart. TMZ broke the story. Britney is settled with her jail, Jamie Spears, after Rosengart vowed to pursue him for alleged financial misdeeds. Okay, We're told Britney did not get a penny from Jamie, in part because everything Jamie did was court approved. Okay, they wasn't running around telling that. See what I tell y'all? Y'all free Britney people? I knew I could look in the girl's eyes and see. I said, they got this baby. This is a robbery, okay? And they said, in fact, Britney ended up paying Jamie's legal bills, which totaled around $2 million. Short story, she ran out of cash. Beyonce, I want to say this sad boy. Beyonce, I get on you a lot. But you should, I don't want to get in people's business. But you look at how your daddy got after that. For what? What they did to Matthew. I'm gonna stay out of this one. I'm just putting it out there. Okay. I know Matthew ain't was a hoe out in the street, okay? But that's in the dead. I don't think your daddy was robbing. But that's my that ain't my beat. Okay, I'm just saying. Because I know what's going on. See, people want to get their hands on that money. They know Britney Spears was unstable with her daddy, and then was keeping her family was keeping it tight. Okay? And they wanted that. Them, see, now they telling y'all, oh, she's overly spending money. They gave TMZ this. This is my personal opinion. This is Carlotta 101 theory. That somebody dropped this theory, I said, dropped this story, to make y'all think Britney's out of control. So if something ever fucking happened to her, okay, and she found her something and everything, they like, she ain't got no more money. She was spending, she was overspending. Remember how they did Michael Jackson? She was doing too much. She was spending, she was blah, blah, blah. She was out of control. TMZ had even reported on it. She should have never left her daddy. She don't got no more money. Okay? That's because these motherfuckers, whoever these motherfuckers is behind it, they robbing her. Okay? And daddy did daddy. You don't feel guilty, Mr. Spears. You did all you could. Okay? But like I said, sometimes you got to let grown folks be grown. And now I think she's in danger. When they dropping stories like this, I believe you in danger, Brittany. And you better go. Well, I don't know if Brittany's stable enough. But she need her daddy now. Okay? So I say in the end, everybody come back to bed. Remember Joe? Remember how Michael was up to the show? I can't do 50 shows. Joe. But by then, you gave him so much power to other people. Joe was having a hard time coming in. Sad to see it. But I told y'all from the get-go, I did not buy the Free Britney movement. And I knew it was some BS. In my personal opinion, it was some BS so that people could get their hands on the catalogs, money, all that stuff, okay? And let me just say this is for people, you know, in that business, okay? and just in life general, it ain't just about being in business, but sometimes the very paranoia you have, I'm a Scorpio, so sometimes I'll be paranoid with everybody, right? But sometimes the paranoia you have can cause things to happen. But what you really need to learn, there's a couple of things I feel like, and this is my what I'm telling even myself in life about things and how I'm just trying to get some understanding of things, you know, for my own self and creating, cleaning up my own messes, is that you have to understand your intuition and your gut and when God is speaking to you, not a sense of just not trusting anybody and everybody. There's some people who just like, they crazy. It's some people who are so locked down and so paranoid, it can't be fun living life, being you. Right? And they trust the wrong people, and they end up being paranoid and everything and everything. Think they done locked everything down, and really they done let the wrong MFC in. Usually when you're paranoid, you ain't seeing being straight, right? But my thing is to not find trust within your intuition, yourself, God, and understanding that what you see, action, what people show you is what they show you, okay? Seeing what you're seeing is what you're seeing, and staying alert in your ish. Hey, now, Brittany got a mental problem. Something else is going on. But for people who out here, I say it every week on here, if you're drinking and you're drugging too much, okay, and they get ready to do a movie on Amy Winehouse. Amy Winehouse is a perfect example of, you know, this all going to part. You know what I'm saying? Who else was a known drinker, alcoholic? What's the name? Played guitar. I forget his name. Why can't I remember his name? Jimi Hendrix. Hey, some people think Jimi Hendrix was murdered. A lot of people think that. Okay? See, listen, it's easy to kill people when they have addictions and stuff. That's why I'm not saying go to. I'm saying get help. Okay? Because, listen, these people can set your ass up out in these streets, okay? And they isolated this young girl from her parents who was doing right by her. You don't hear shit about Britney for years when they had her under the conservatorship. The moment they started that Free Britney movement, her ass started dancing around and getting married and dancing on screens and stuff, I knew, I said, oh, Lord. I knew they did the wrong thing because I understood what the Free Britney movement was about from the beginning. Okay. You got to learn how to trust. The most important thing you got to learn how to trust in this world is self and God. Okay. Beyonce said, I got to meet myself and now that's all I got to be in. You got God too. Okay? You got to learn to hear your own voice, okay? Because some of y'all don't be trusting. Y'all, it be people locked down. It be celebrities locked down. Okay? They be like that. But they done opened themselves up to Diddy's parties. No. Nah, it's some of y'all who being overly protective of yourself, like really just out of control, like thinking everybody's a, oh, what are they, what is this, that. You can't have a normal conversation with regular people because you fear somebody not to do you in because you have no self-awareness, no emotional intelligence, and you have, and you're out of touch with the reality around you, that you can't have regular conversations with other people, but y'all was at these freak outs. Get videotaped, okay? Listen. Fame sometimes stunts your growth, especially if you've been famous for a long time. I saw Justin Bieber on there the other day crying. I said, that's because his growth has been stunted. Okay, there's a lot of shit, going on there. I don't know, y'all seeing a lot of stuff out in the streets. You know, another time to discuss. Okay, but what I say is, I know it's sharks out there. It's the world is full of sharks. Okay, but you got to have your spirit. You know, I give people a lot of things. People don't think I do. People are like, no, I don't. I'm a very patient person. I be a fixed time. So I be giving people lots of chances. And, you know, I be seeing your ass from the get-go. You know, I be like, all right, I'm going to let you in. But I'm a sense, you have to have a sense. Sometimes when I can't see something, I say, hey, I'm not having an emotional intelligence about this situation. There's not a sense of thing. Or sometimes, you know, one of the things I really have bad is sometimes, you know, and I share this with y'all, I pursue answers when I don't have them. I can't say, I've been like this, I was little. My granny just said, this girl will pursue her, and she will relentlessly, like, you know, I remember I had one time I was in high school, and this guy stood me up. I just could not understand. I said, what the fuck? Like, you know, and I was like, I called him and I was like, listen, I just want to know. I just want to know what the hell did you run around here begging me to go out with you and begging me and begging me and begging me, and then you just simply just, I could not. My grandmother was like, did you? I said, I probably am. But my grandmother had to tell me, she was like, Kiki, that you don't got to do that. People are telling you what they are, who they are anyway. And because you have a sense of empathy or empathic growth, you know, about yourself, you feel things and stuff like that. Everybody don't know something. You got to be careful. And sometimes I have to be careful of this now, even with friendships and everything like that, is because sometimes I have a gift of, sometimes I'm very intuitive, or so I can feel another person's space. But because you can feel another person's space doesn't mean that they're automatically ready to share, okay? Are they ready to this and that? So sometimes you have to have some emotional intelligence in this world of learning how to deal with people. Sometimes I still can be that way. I still sometimes be funny. But, you know, preach. I do some crazy stuff. But, you know, not in a bad way, but, you know, funny way. But you have, I just feel like people, if you have a sense of emotional intelligence and you have a sense of growth, you don't have to be afraid to have conversations with people, or you have to be afraid and paranoid like a lot of y'all celebrities are. A lot of y'all live in paranoia because you let handlers and stuff do the hard shit. You let them feel for you. You let them live for you. You let them do all kinds of things that you need to do, right? So you won't be stunted and not understand what the hell is going on around you. And then you be jacked up in the evening, okay? So that's just my personal opinion. Somebody must need that. Child, I said, that was a word right there. I might have to listen to that later on myself. Okay, so that's what I see with Britney Spears and people like that, with regular celebrities and stuff like that. You have to have that sense. Open yourself up to, it's like, you can't be afraid to be of heartbreak sometimes. You can't be afraid of, and listen, I don't want to mess you up. I'm just saying this. You can't be afraid to not learn people. You learn people through experience. That doesn't mean you don't protect yourself. It just means that you learn people through experiencing people, experiencing them on all levels and all ways. If you're not experiencing your life, you're stunted. Just my personal opinion, okay? All right. I don't know where I got off on that, but for somebody, I guess, out of these streets. All right, so let's talk about Tiffany Haddish, baby. Tiffany is still out here in the streets. Tiffany can't say comment. Tiffany said, nah. Tiffany, I'm a Pisces whisperer, okay? Tiffany, Pisces males, most Pisces males that I know, they're all romantic, okay? They all sometimes are overly romantic. Even if you have the beautiful, even placements in Pisces, right? You have certain placements in Pisces. You have a Mars in Pisces, your little poet. Or if you have, you know, the Venus in Pisces. Oh, jeez. You're over the top romantic, okay? But if you just have the Pisces or whatever, comments, can we pull up comments, astro? Do we have comments? I'm not an astrologist, but I watch a lot of them. I love them, okay? Let's see. Okay, let's talk about let's see if we can pull it up, because I want to talk about what Tiffany talked about here, okay? We got a chart for Tommy. Let it see. This is moon sign. Okay, Tiffany. Okay, his sun is in Pisces. His moon is in Aquarius. Oh, God. Moon's in Aquarius. Okay, and let's see what it is. Venus is in Taurus. So, you know, it's interesting that he sometimes lacks stability in the relationship because a lot of Venus and Taurus is like stability, right? His Mars is in Taurus. That's very interesting, his Venus in Taurus and his Mars in Taurus and how he lacks. But, you know, Taurus is going to be a trip too, but that's very interesting. North Northern Capricorn, but that moon in Aquarius and that sun in Pisces, you know, I like to hear an astrology point of view with Mercury conjunct Chiron. Oh, yeah. He could be a bit of an indecisive playboy, especially, you know, that, you know, out there, that moon and Aquarius, you know. But Venus and Taurus, Venus and Taurus and Mars and Taurus. Venus and Taurus, I find most Venus and Taurus is like insecurity. Mars and Taurus, too, that could be, I know I like to hear astrology's point of view on that. Then he's got that, he's got another thing I saw down there in his, planets. But Tiffany Haddish said this week, she says, ex-comment was chasing her for 2 years before she finally agreed to date him, okay? Okay, this is according to People Magazine, okay? The hit comedian actress and author opens up about her past relationships ahead of the release of a new memoir, I Curse You With Joy. Tiffany Haddish has a new lease on love these days. I've been dating multiple guys. They all know about each other. Haddish 44 tells People in the Suits issue ahead of the release of the new memoir, I Curse You With Joy, on May 7th. But despite multiple suitors, she adds, I haven't been having sex since October. So far, the celibate lifestyle is working out for the notoriously sex positive story. You know what I noticed? She says, when you don't have sex, it's like men love you even more. They work even harder, take you on trips. They be in love. They're like, I've never been in a relationship like this. This is true. This is very true. I know men will hate for me to say this. This is so true. Listen, and I grew up with a lot of male friends who were like brothers to me. They always used to tell me, And they used to say, you know what's great about you? Like, I had one brother, he used to always tell me, and he's still my close friend to this day. He used to tell me, he said, you know what I love about you? I'm going to tell you how to use that, sis. And he said, you got the energy of seduction. You've seen this flytrap ass, but take them. Don't write. And you're going to have people messed up out of you. So he used to tell me that all the time. And I was like, wow. You know, wow. Right? So I agree with Tiffany Haddish, and I think it gives you a chance as a woman to get to know somebody, right, to get to know what this person is like. Do you really like them? You know what I'm saying? Like, even, I mean, I know it's hard with certain people and stuff like that, but holding off on making out and stuff sometimes because, it's, you know, because it can blind you to, like, you know, like, I want to know if you really, if it's chemistry I'm feeling, is it, you know, is it just, what is it, endorphins, or is it just really, I've really got something here, you know what I'm saying? So I think you there should be, I love that way she's saying that, okay? She said, I thought you were just taking me to eat. When it comes to hit comedian, actress, and author's last known relationship with rapper Common 52, she said he pursued her for some time since dating in 2020. The only celebrity I've entangled with, it was 2 years of him chasing me down before I finally was like, okay, let's do something, she says with her ex. That was top of 22. We met at the beginning of 2018-17. Common and Haddish seemed happy over a year and a half. Okay, they were during COVID, okay? Common telling people in July of 2021, I need to enjoy life. So I feel with Tiffany, I've been experiencing that, and I'm grateful for that. Now, listen, Tiffany, I will say this, okay? Male Pisces, they will romanticize you, and they will chase you. They will chase you to help them, okay? Even the hoes will chase you, okay? Even the hoes will chase you, okay? You ruin their romance, their sense of romanticism about you. Or now him having that Venus in Taurus, that's kind of surprising, like how he moves. But I think I see some other things in why he moves that way. But I would say there is something he had to have not really liked for him to move the way he moves with you. Because Pisces are notoriously romantic. They even romanticize you out of the relationship. Like, they romanticize you. Even when they're wanting to end it, they're romanticizing you. So I just feel like maybe there was a chase there and he was let down after the chase. Maybe there was too much too soon given. Here's what I see about Tiffany Haddish, okay? She says she's been married once before. I want a partner. She said, I would like for us to have a wedding, but not necessarily a marriage contract. I want the party and the relationship. I don't want the license. That's interesting. I want us to be in trust, and if you have kids, you adopt kids, they're going to be fun babies, trust fund babies. And I think we both should change our names, okay? She said. Everybody was like, oh, Tiffany, you wanted to marry him so bad, she says, looking back. And I'm like, if I wanted to marry that man, I would not have been talking about him buying me an apartment building. I think he was more powerful than a marriage license, okay, and easier to get out of. Oh, goodness. Listen, if you can have children with somebody, you can marry them. I don't know what y'all people are thinking in these days and time that children, like, you, that's because people are thinking wrong about kids. Because if you can be committed, you know how hard it is to be committed to parenting? That's because a lot of you motherfuckers are really not committed to parenting. You have these babies, but you ain't parenting them. They just real fun, like your little baby dolls. You put them with the nanny or whatever else and all this stuff. But parenting is, that's more of a commitment than anything you can make to me in the world. Tougher sometimes even the idea of marriage. So it's crazy to me how people can commit to having children with each other, but you can't commit to fucking marriage, okay? Marriage is worth it. Sometimes they fucking don't, okay? But that's okay. We like them to be, people would like them to be forever, but sometimes that doesn't happen. And you can't be afraid in this life of it happening to you. People are really crazy. We can have babies, but you know what I'm saying? And listen, let me just say this, okay, Tiffany? There is a certain thing that Tiffany's very beautiful and everything, but there's something that comes off about Tiffany. I don't know what it is, but I see it now. She's always moving. She's trying to move. She's trying to rush through what, to me, should be a time, if I was her, because she's had such a hard time this last couple of years that people really don't like her as much as they used to. People don't think she's funny. They started Kevin Hart her very early. Like, people say that about Kevin Hart, but, you know, Kevin's funny, but people say, you know, stuff like that. But Tiffany, if my advice is that I would slow it down, all this publicity, going to every party, everything that's happening in Hollywood, and I would really reinvent myself, go somewhere and quiet down and reinvent myself. Like, quiet down. She has not stopped running since that stuff came out with that little kid stuff. And it's like she keeps trying to get, set me. So if you was acting like that towards Tommy, that's probably good. Okay. Even Pisces want a challenge. Pisces more than anybody loves a challenge. That's the thing. If you can't make it too easy for the fishes. The fishes like challenges. They like tough girls. Okay. So I will say fishes love not knowing if they ever really have you. That's my personal opinion. Like, Jada Pinkett would probably be the perfect fish girl, right? Pisces girl, okay? But, yeah, I feel like, the Tiffany needs to chill and really do the work. Go and practice your comedy out at the Be Quiet at the comedy clubs in L.A. and start. It's always hard. You know, this is what I was talking to myself about, you know. And I tell y'all my stuff on here because maybe it helps somebody to say. But it's hard. The hardest thing to do is when you know you need to quiet down. And the world is like, you want to jump in. You don't want the world to forget about you, especially in show business and stuff like that. But sometimes you need to calm down and experience what's going on in your life. It's the hardest time because I get bored quick. I got this driven high no level to something poor to see. I'm like, I get bored real fast. Right? So I'm like, excuse me, my mind always does like da, 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 da. Right? So but you sometimes you need to slow down. I had somebody tell me, hey, Keisha. That's my first name. You need to slow down. You can't just jump back into everything. So I was like, oh my God, my weight, everything's bad. I've got dinner. I'm trouble. You know, I was just you understand you just had breast cancer. And I was like, you remember what you always say? Figure out what it's all, why it's all there. That's hard. Hard to chill, okay? Because sometimes God requires you to stand, do some work. Boot camp stuff, right? Hard stuff. Well, you got to get gritty with your spirit, man. Ooh, the hardest thing for transformation, the hardest thing in transforming is that part. Quiet space. Figuring out, like, the heart when ain't nobody looking. And you know what I'm saying? Trying to go work out every day, trying to keep your mind right for your next a journey or your next, or you got a new project coming or you got this and that. You trying to train and discipline. It's those times that's very quiet is where you start to build. But it's hard in those times, and it's always something wanting your attention. And I feel like Tiffany Haddish has not let herself have a quiet time. Like, Tiffany, chill. Don't be writing no books and shit. Calm your ass down. I know you probably need money out in these streets and stuff like that, but you might need to, my personal opinion, comedy store, work out some comedy, take some acting classes. No, get some real actors out in the damn streets and stuff like that. Because you already got the career, but you got so many people. It's almost like you keep trying to push. Somebody keeps trying to push you out there. Push you, 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 push you. You know what I'm saying? They keep trying to push you. But people are like having a little disdain for you to see it online and stuff. And when that happens, that may be God trying to tell you to slow down and take a minute and start working on things. And sometimes you do need to look online and see what people are saying, because then you, so not just because you believe them, because you need to get a picture of what people are thinking and what energy you're giving off, okay? So, yeah, that's just something I want to put out here, okay? All right, let's see what else. That was interesting. Okay, so she said conversation. Child, I ain't surprised about that. Child, I'm not surprised. But I think that like I said, there's that sense of, you know, you're not giving them no taste. Sense of yeah, it might be hard. Okay.
But what I realize is there a parallel with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm trying to find out other story I need to talk about. Okay, child, Beyonce, help me, Lord. Okay, Disney said we getting our $70 million back, Carlotta. We don't care what shit you talking about. Okay, we putting her ass to work. We know she can't talk. She can't do good voice hours, and she can't out act. Oh God, the last Lion King was painful. It was painful. Congratulations to Blue Ivy though. Okay. But it says Beyonce and Blue Ivy Carter, and mother and daughter play Disney Lion King prequel. I don't know why we need that, but okay. The movie musical from director Barry Jenkins will include original songs from Lin-Manuel Miranda. Disney, did we not learn? Disney said, we got shit. Well, we already got it in the making. I mean, what are we going to do? We already gave out money and checks. We got to at least try to get a little bit of money back. Okay. The original King of Lions is getting its own origin story and will be joined by the real-life Queen Beyonce and her daughter Blue Ivy Carter. Not Beyonce talking through a film. Do y'all not understand? People say, Carlotta, what about Cadillac Records? She did better than any other thing she's been in Cadillac Records. But it's still hard. But it was better. And she's another person. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm wondering if she's taking acting classes. Like, acting classes are important if you want to be an actor. I'm serious. When you want to be actors, real actors, but people who they like to study. Oh my God, she's about to talk on film Disney. Seriously, the new prequel to the 2019 blockbuster live action Lion King. Was it a blockbuster? I mean, people hated it after we see it. As the first trailer on April 29th, given a Sonny Justin Mustafa, voiced by Aaron Perrier, star Calvin Harrison, in their home in African Pride. Beyonce, 42, reprises her role as Nala. Oh, Jesus. God, Jesus, I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm like, Lord help us. Blue Ivy, 12, voices the daughter of King Simba, and returning Donald Glover and Queen Nala named Kiara, a character who last appeared in 1998's animated The Lion King. You know what? I was just going to say congratulations to Blue Ivy. It's a beautiful thing when you get to work with your mom on something, okay? You'll have those memories forever. But Beyonce, your ass know you need to. I hope you done took some lessons. It'll be Simba. She'd be real slow with it. I'm like, I couldn't take it. I was about to walk out the movie. I was like, I can't take it. I'm not much more I can take it. Because the movie was already not that good, okay? that ain't like the animated shit and all that stuff like that. You know, Beyonce needs to sing her way through some shit, okay? But her talking, I was like, oh, we can't do this. You got a YouTube. I like a lot of Beehive angry with me right now. Beehive even noticed, though. The Beehive do not, they raise up their red white flags when you're talking about Beyonce's acting. They get it. They really do. They agree with you. They'll be like, that's what she still sings. She still sings. Because they know. Oh, Lord have mercy. This is just, you got to see it to Beyonce as Nala. You got something. Avoid that. You got, I can stop the play. This is something. Oh, I just wanted to pay a little bit of it. Good luck, Beyonce. Hey, Disney said, we ain't just going to take our $70 million. We going to let another one flop out here. Don't do no musicals, Disney. Don't do no music. Don't let her do no full album, okay? Don't do it. Billionaire faked on death to join Russian lover in Moscow, reports are saying. This is according to Newsweek, okay? It's saying a German billionaire who was officially declared dead in 2021, 3 years after vanishing in the Swiss Alps, may have faked his own death to live with his with his alleged mistress in Moscow. Carl Irvin Hobb, a German-U.S. dual citizen, was 58 at the time of his disappearance and was former managing director of German retail Tingelmann Group. He was last seen on the morning of April 7, 2018, heading up a mountain lift and was reported missing the following morning after he did not return to his hotel in the Swiss resort of Zermatt, okay? A search for the businessman was officially called off in October 2018. 3 years later, in May 2021, Carl Irvin Hobb was formally declared dead by a district court in Cologne, where he lived. Evidence to have him officially declared dead was submitted by his wife, brothers, and company. His younger brother, Christian Hobb, was named CEO of Tingelmann after he vanished. In May 2021, he swore in an affidavit that he possessed no information that his missing sibling could be alive. Now Christian Hobb is being investigated by the state prosecutor's office in Cologne over allegations that he could have given false statements. Local news outlet Zet Online reported on April 11th. The publication had said the contrary statements he provided his accusers have and had reliable evidence that his brother could still be alive. Okay, this is not surprising. There used to be a show. Remember, we did the Michael Jackson is Alive series, okay? Okay, so y'all know I'd be interested in the crazy shit, okay? And listen, that was not crazy shit about Michael Jackson. No, no, for real. That was it's a lot of interesting shit with people, okay? People have some interesting stuff on that. I know, you know, back in the day, you know, it was crazy. My Michael Jackson people know. They know how crazy. It was crazy. The Michael Jackson is Alive series was crazy, man. God, I was Pearl and and Brandy and all my people and my boy in London. Oh, my God, we just have a time, okay? But listen, people fake their deaths a lot. There used to be a series on it on one of the crime channels on television. I used to see a series of people fake their deaths all the time. And don't get found out for years. So, yeah, no, it is not impossible to me that someone, this billionaire, decides to fake his death. There are many people who have done it in the United States, abroad, everything, okay? There used to be a show on television where weekly they would talk about people who have faked their death, some right away, some it took years, okay? So, no, that's not impossible, okay? That's not a conspiracy theory. People can fake their death. Especially got a lot of money. Okay, you a billionaire, okay? Now, he made his ass slip up and be seen somewhere. Okay? But really, you know, that can straight definitely happen, okay? All right, so let's see the next one. What time is that? Okay. I want to make sure I get these to certain. Since I talked about, y'all, we're going to talk about Amanda Seals on Club Shay Shay. Okay, let's talk about a little bit about Amanda real quick.
But again, no further context.
Okay, this is Amanda talking about Issa Rae. I won't keep it on long, just let y'all hear a little bit about why she's not protecting Issa Rae anymore and what happened to her at that party. Remember, we already heard that story years ago on here. We talked about it on the show. So let's take a listen to the explain.
But you know what the other thing is, Shannon Sharpton?
Wow.
This is a brother who ended up having a child with someone on the show. And I said, well, you know, I'd like to talk to you further because I need you to speak to Vanessa. She is trying to ruin my career. She's like, I don't think so. Like, she's trying to ruin my, like, I bring her into the room. I bring her into my trailer, and I had to do another 48 Laws of Power. I sat her on a higher plane than myself so that she can feel as the queen. And in this setting, she is the queen.
Right.
And I say, you know, I don't need nothing from you. So I don't have a reason to lie to you. But the people that work for you, like in close quarters, whose names are really attached to you, they will lie to you. And I had to convince her that, like, this is really happening. Like, I'm not making this up. And even if it turns out to be not happening, I still need you to speak to her to deduce what is or
right.
isn't.
Right.
So then she finally went and spoke to her. The damage is done. Right? Because now you see how every few years this becomes a thing. And it was started from a lie.
Right.
It was started from a lie. And, you know, it's not about convincing people because I don't need to convince nobody of nothing. But I just don't ever feel comfortable with people forming opinions not based on truth. Shit, I got in trouble for saying nigga on Insecure. I got in trouble for telling a brother he was a revolutionary nigga. In trouble. Like, literally got pulled aside and was told, we need to talk about the incident that you had.
I guess when you're in corporate, you got to keep it corporate, man.
We say nigga on the show. We say nigga all day on this motherfucking show. And it was a black woman who pulled me to the side. And this brother is tatted from the neck down, wearing, eating edible on set from Detroit. I mean, that nigga.
Let's talk about it, okay? Issa Rae, it's obvious, does not like confrontation. I don't know. I said this years ago on the show when Amanda was ousted out of that party by Issa Rae's publicist, and Issa Rae did not take up for her. I said that was bad in leadership skills. That was really bad. Because she should have said something to her public, because she works for you. And Amanda talks about all this same stuff on here, okay? But here's the deal, and I said the same thing. I'm gonna say the same thing I said years ago. Issa didn't like you, Amanda. It wasn't the publisher, okay? The publisher was just taking up, okay? Issa may not like confrontation or something like that. It wasn't the publisher that did had the problem with you, and you should have known that. Keeping you out the Vanity Fair party, a publicist when you are part of her cast, that is her. That's her ass. Issa Rae couldn't tell me it wasn't her ass. Issa is your ass, and then like Amanda, and you should have been woman enough, brave enough, and bold enough to say, I don't want you in the party. I'm not feeling you like that. We work together, but I'm not down. But I wouldn't admit that. That isn't good leadership skills. Even if you don't like the person, she is a part of your cast. And I hope you've grown since then, Issa Rae, and can be able to confront people when you don't like them. But you've made your public do all, and this is my personal opinion, do all this shit when it really should have been you confront telling Amanda you didn't care for her. And Amanda, as I said before, you always the common denominator. Now you get mad at people because people are talking about you self diagnosing yourself as autism. I mean, this is healthy shit. I self diagnose myself with some shit, okay? I ain't mad at you, Amanda, but see, I just think people, Amanda, you don't realize how you're very smart, but I don't know if you're aware, emotionally aware, and self-aware of others around you and how they're perceiving you. And that's all I say on that, okay? But this was a very interesting interview, Amanda Seals. I wish I could talk more about it, but our time, child, okay, I may try to come back and hit it. But she said some very interesting things about what happened on the set of Insecure, okay? And let me just tell you this. Amanda's character, I liked her character on Insecure. So it was very interesting. The best characters on Insecure, I'm going to tell you the truth, Amanda and the girl Kelly, the girl who the light-skinned black girl, kind of hefty girl, those were two best characters. I ain't going to lie. They could have made a show. She could have had a separate show for herself. She's the one thing that I believed on there. Like, I kind of believed her more. But I never bought into Issa and them. I kind of knew they overdid it. But I liked certain subjects of the show, but I kind of knew they were overdoing and cosplaying Adolphus. We used to talk about that all the time, okay? But just like I love Scandal. I used to watch Scandal all the time. But there were so many problems with the Scandal script. I mean, there was great writing on one end, but on the other end, there was a lot of liberties taken with sexuality and sometimes making Kerry Washington look really bad as a black woman in certain situations, even in the Viola Davis and that murder thing, same thing. And, you know, this was a script being written by a black woman. But my personal opinion, even though I love Shonda Rhimes and I think she's one of the dopest writers out there, but I could see a lot of her shit hitting in some of them scripts, okay? A lot of that black stuff you're trying to figure out and shit in your mind. That's what, you know, a lot of black people ain't confronted they demons of blackness. And they be writing that shit in scripts and stuff, okay? This is my personal opinion, okay? So, that was interesting. She also talked about Emmanuel Otto and all this stuff and everything. I also got to talk about Beyonce. I just saw this article, so excuse me for skipping to it, but I forgot to talk about Rapunzel, Beyonce. Her name on the show is Rapunzel. She let down her hair this week. Y'all tell me. I think we did talk about that last week, about Rapunzel letting down her hair. And so, yeah, she had real hair. But I'm like, that ain't got nothing to do. You did not roll out sacred wheel. That's the problem, okay? That's the real issue, all right? All right, so, okay. So this was an interesting thing. Nick Cannon has a discussion with Devon Franklin about monogamy. So let's listen to Nick Cannon, of all people, talk about monogamy.
I mean, by title, I'm coming because this is what works for me. Do you believe that it works for you? Because that is what you've been taught. No. Yeah, innately you feel monogamy is natural for you.
Okay, hold on.
It is absolutely possible for us to have multiple emotional connections with different women.
Yes.
Okay, let's just go down the road for a moment.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say monogamy is not our natural disposition. We can still choose it.
And that's why I said, obviously, he finds why I find a good thing and is exalted
yes.
by God.
Find the favor of the Lord.
Because in that sense, it can't be done. It has to be the order, God, man, woman, for it to work and be successful. Now, even if you take spirituality out of it, there's so much discipline that goes against our nature to actually do
yes.
it.
I think so often in the church,
what happens is people buy into this, I'm a man of God, I'm a woman of God, and then they come together in that way, but they're not really coming together as two people. They're coming together as two titles.
Titles.
He liked what he had to say. That's very true about church stuff and everything like that. And often a lot of times in churches, that's why you find sometimes in churches 50% of marriages end up dissolving because people have gotten married a lot of times often because, you know, they're like, oh, I'm in church. I don't want shit to hell, you know. And people didn't really foresee. A lot of times people were having foreseen, like you said, they come together with titles and trying to get, you know, married quick due to sexuality stuff going on, all kind of stuff. And it's just a lot to that, okay? But here's the thing about monogamy. Nick said the discipline of monogamy is hard. Well, the discipline of you getting up every day, Negro, I know, and go get that paper you want ain't easy either. Discipline is not nothing when your discipline is easy. Discipline ain't easy. Shit, I want to eat right now. A cheeseburger. Then I had this in my ass out too. All right. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying that sometimes, and, you know, that's just an excuse. I feel like, you know, especially dude, I feel like a dude like Nick Cannon, what's going on with him is Nick is hurt. I really do. I really feel like Nick is hurt. And that's why I always say, you girls out here, that's why he's having you pay attention to these shows he's having. These women need to be paying attention. These women out here who be giving up with having babies and shit with his ass and all this stuff. He done slowed down now. But you girls who done sacrificed your womb and shit, he is really a spiritual guy. Nah, and God gonna rest him if he listens. Okay, listen, just tell you how it gonna be. Okay, if he listens, okay, if he keep being in denial and stuff like that. You can tell that's why you're having Devon Franklin on, all these people on. Just like, I probably wouldn't be surprised to get TV takes on one time. So like, you're going to have all kinds. Because he really is a church boy. Okay? And he done got out there in Hollywood and got wild and stuff. But when God arrests him, it's going to, and listen, and a female comes through, the right chick, y'all going to all feel stupid. You gotta be hearing what you hear. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you would do, like, I remember, like, years ago, I was dating this dude. Yeah, I was like, oh, dang, he's so tough. He's got his high toe, you know. And I was in my 20s and something. And he was like, yo, like, you a church girl. I'm like, I be having fun. I be going up to the club. What you talking about? He said, nah. You like spiritual and stuff. Like you. I don't want to mess up your world. I was like, what you mean? Nah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I can hear it, man. Nah, man. Right? Seriously, I was like, what's in here? Right? Really. And he told me because he didn't believe in God. He said, I ain't got no God in me. I don't believe in nothing. And he said, I can hear you. I can hear it in you. Even though you flowing, you doing this and that, and like, and you a free pick, you like me, you this and that, but I ain't got. And I had a hard time with it. And you took me, you know, a spiritual person. So one of my spiritual older elders women tell me, what does light have to do with darkness? All that preaching to me, something like that. But it was still hard on me because I felt like I felt the kindred soul, just he thought differently from me. But he felt like it went, what happened when the dude, the God I don't believe in, speaks to you? I was like, ooh, he was wise because he's seen it. And that's why I'm telling you girls about Nick, okay? Nick is one of the church boys out there trying to act like he ain't no church boy. He's trying to be cool. He's trying to be accepted. He's trying to, run around Hollywood and be something he ain't. And when it really comes time for him to get it back, he's going to get it back. But by then, it's going to be hard because some of you girls, you're going to find him probably settled. Suddenly, he's going to get disciplined. Suddenly, he's going to get settled. Okay? So it's like, it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm just saying you just have to hear what you hear. Okay? And I thought, well, every time I hear Nick Cannon, I don't hear no Playboy, okay? I don't care what he's doing. I don't care if he had, who he done learned it from. I don't care where he done got it from. I've known players, right? Even, you know, there's this person right now, okay, that I see all the time in show business, right? This good-looking. Fine, okay? But you ain't, this person, they just trying to be a playboy. I'm like, they got only women going to run you ragged. Because why? Because you really ain't a playboy. Like, Nick is being bravado-ish, but I bet that's why he's sick all the time. No, I see Nick. See, they be trying to be nice to Nick. I see what he says. I mean, like, that's why you sick all the time, because your spirit is sick. You know you ain't supposed to be out here. You know you ain't. He told me, I know, God told me I was supposed to have a lot of kids. I said, no, God didn't tell you you're a lot of women. You're a lot. That's a lie. You probably are supposed to have a lot of kids. Maybe it's with one woman. Or maybe a second, another wife or somebody. But you ain't supposed to be making these fatherless homes and lying. He done turned his blessing into confusion. That don't mean he wasn't supposed to be a father of many. But I don't believe he was supposed to have several households. Okay? But that's because Nick is hurting. You can look at him, the bravado, and trying to talk and trying to say, but he's really, that's coming from somebody who got hurt from something. Okay? Nick Cannon is out in Hollywood, and he got introduced to a lot of different women and stuff like that, and what he don't realize is that shit will run. You might be getting healthy every day, pumping iron and all that stuff, but why you sickly is because them bitches is running your spirit. But I ain't my business, okay? I'm just trying to let you know what's going on in the streets, okay? I'm just a person. I'm just saying. Because you can't handle that. That ain't really you. And when you play around in that, them spirits that come with that will eat you up. That's why I see this person, and I'd be like, oh, my God. You know, they got the suave look, they got the player look and everything like that and all this stuff, but they really ain't that. Yeah. I mean, and sometimes people think because they're supposed to experience the world and experience, I mean, you're supposed to experience different everything. But you got to be careful of your roots of who you are on the root, you know what I'm saying, in your spirit, man. Because it's like the prodigal son. Remember the story of prodigal son? He went out there. He said, give me my inheritance now. I want to go out and experience what's out there. Hey, give me my money, daddy. Give me my trust fund right now. And he went out there. But in the end, he was sitting with the pigs. You know what I'm saying? He was like, oh, he said, I got to go back home to my daddy. I ain't meant to live like this. I hear y'all doing too much. After he got through partying, he came, the Bible says he came to himself. I'm trying to get y'all some knowledge out of the streets, okay? So these people who be trying to act like y'all. I've met real hard players before, okay? And even when they get saved, it'd be different. But they really, when they was in that lifestyle, they was really that, okay? But people who are not that, and you trying to pretend out here being that, and you going around and you screwing everything, and you doing all that, them spirits going to eat you up. Some of the coochie cats and stuff. I'm just trying to tell people, they're going to eat you up. Right, because you won't come to yourself. Well, he came to himself. He realized he was just a loser. What's the part of the Bible say he's just a pig in the pig pen? And he said, I got to go home to my daddy. I ain't supposed to be out here in no pig pen. My father's wealthy. See, that's how you feel when you always a God child. When you've had God in your life and you've had a spiritual experience with God or something powerful happen in your life, you can never get if you want. No matter what you can do, go out here. You can do. I have been in places where I have seen people preaching when they drunk. I said, I said, Lord, they know. You know, look at God. God messing them up. God told me when I was. They be having the same gifts and stuff like that, but they preach even in. But they realize that they connected to spirit. Okay, so they can't keep doing that dirt and stuff. And what happens is you end up in the pig pen. And you don't want to come home. That's all I'm just saying. Nick the plan. Nick's a church boy. Okay. Has he experienced a lot being a church boy? Yes, okay. But he's a church boy. Okay, do I got time to talk about Neo and this girl? I ain't got time, child. Neo, I forgot about Neo's ass. Hey, Neo this week got busted by his baby mama.
He calling the police, y'all. He's calling, no, I don't give a... I don't know. You know what you did. You gotta explain that. Come on, police. Tell him the real you. Tell him the real you. And while we're here today... Tell them why we're here today. Tell, shut my refuse to remove me. Why? Because the commotion, how did the commotion start? What did we talk about? What did I ask of you? All of that is irrelevant. Okay, so you calling the police. Y'all, guess what? Over what? Because he wants... over the house while his kids is here. Like, he likes to have drugs and weed, alcohol, mushrooms, and prostitutes in the house while his kids are here. Everyone has asked him to stop, but he will not listen to nobody. This is what's going on. This is the...
Okay.
While the bitch is in the house.
Sade, first of all, you knew what it was. You knew what it was, okay? Yeah, you knew what it was. So let's not act like we didn't know what Neo was beforehand. But let me just say this. Another good boy out here trying to be a playboy. You can see it. He sat down. He looked dejected when she was coming out of town. Yeah, Judge, you're going to be Diddy next. You're going to be this and that. And see what's going on? Then Dean has done eight. He done got out there with chicks that's above his grade. Out his fucking league. Eating him up. Then came up in the house. The side chicks taping you. See, that's how it happened. Because what? God is trying to bring him to himself. Neo, you keep trying to run next game like you some playboy. Boy, you ain't no playboy. If you don't get your, you know your ass, you ain't all that money and stuff. You be out here probably with some girl being decent or whatever. I'm just saying, okay, I understand you have to experience that first few highs of fame and all them women and stuff like that. But when you realize that you ain't that shit, you really ain't that playboy like that, when you realize you really ain't that playboy, like I used to have a friend, a guy I used to date. He was beautiful. He was handsome, okay? And he tried to be a playboy. even though he was real fine. I remember he could be a playboy. But he wasn't in his spirit, meaning. He tried to be a player out in the streets. Them bitches were like eating him up, okay? Just like, I'm just saying that up, okay? Because they was out of here. They was, players deal with hardcore chicks, okay? They got some good ones, but they like to deal with the hard ones, too, okay? And they know how to handle them. But if you really ain't that, they'll be coming up in your house like Sade. taping. You talking about, look at you, gonna be Diddy next. So, what am I got? What am I doing? Nah, Neo, it ain't funny, because really you should be in somebody's studio recording. That's because you got out of purpose. You're supposed to be recording, writing for people, enjoying your life, not being chased down at your house by baby mamas accusing you of drinking and drugging in front of the fucking kids, okay? This is what, I mean, by getting eaten up, okay? We've come to the end of the show. I got more stories. But I'm going to have to give it to y'all for another time. Got to do another show. I don't know when. I can't promise y'all no other shows no more. I can't do it. Because when I promise y'all, I don't get to them. Y'all be mad at me. Okay. So, listen, you guys. Thank you for tuning in and listening to me like you do every week. I appreciate y'all so much. I hope you enjoy the show. I hope you get good laughs. I hope you it makes you feel better and all of that stuff. Meanwhile, we're going to end this with, Chad, I don't know. We're going to end it with, let's end it with spending time, Janet, because that is my pump. Listen here. That's spending time with you be hitting. Whew. That's the song right there, okay? So we're going to leave out with Janet spending time with you. You guys have a wonderful rest of your week. I will try. I'm not going to promise anything, okay? I may do it so I can get part two and get these other stories out here, okay? So I may do a part two, all right? If I don't, y'all listen to the archives and enjoy yourself, okay? I'm out. See y'all. Have a good week. Crashing waves and leave my Janet be taking me there with that song, okay? If you're listening to the sound of my voice, you are listening to the archives. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show every week. I appreciate y'all, okay? Write me like you always, some of y'all do. Feel free to write me, say hi, say how you doing. You're welcome to, if you got show ideas, okay? Cause I got the regular show always do stuff, okay? But just definitely feel free to write what you like about the show, what you don't like, whatever. I'm open to it, okay? Remember, you can hit me up on the Carlotta Chat Room Facebook page. That's where I take a lot of messages. You can also hit me up on Carly_Galaxy on Instagram, okay? I do messages. I take a lot of messages on there. And you can hit me up on Twitter at CChatWithShow and Carlotta72. Then on Threads, I guess you're going to have to hit the link from Instagram. And then on Twitter, at Keisha Carlotta, even though I don't know how long Twitter's going to last, okay? Because they keep talking about they put Twitter out of business. I went and bought me some Twitter stuff. You know, I mean not Twitter. not Twitter X. I mean, X, not X, but TikTok. I went by me. The TikTok got that good store. I bought me some stuff. I said, let me give me some gadgets from the TikTok store before they close. TikTok be having some stuff, right? Oh, my Lord, okay. So I don't know where they're going to shut TikTok down. Well, for now, Keisha Carlotta at TikTok, okay? Oh, my Lord. Okay, so I'm going to try to come back. I felt like I was seeing something really good for people about when you're not players and stuff. And getting eaten up with my spirit. when you really don't have your conscience hasn't been eroded to the point where you still are conscious of what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? That is a bad space to be in and try to play that kind of game. Okay. So that's why I might talk about more about that when we have another show. I'll try to come on and do a whole other thing. We'll talk about that. Maybe we'll talk of return to the Neo situation and view of Neo and stuff like that. And just for some of y'all, if y'all need to hear and you want to hear that or pass it on to somebody, okay? All right, you guys, I'm out. Have a wonderful night. It's late, okay? I'm out. We're going to listen with one of my favorite bands of all time, Jamiroquai. Two completely different things. See y'all.